This conference is being recorded.
All right, welcome to our Monday night call. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2014. We're going to cover just a few small things first, and then we're going to look right into the quo-wanto that we filed today up in the Columbia County Court. The clerk for the court, county clerk. But anyway, anybody who wants a copy of this should go out to our, go out to the page of the news page and click on the news. And when you get there, it should be the first item on the top. Try and open it myself. Okay, nope. It's taking a while to open, but in any event, it's the first item. It should be up on the top. It should have today's date on it, and there it goes. It says posted. Why do I have Friday? That should have been Monday. I'll fix that later. It should be posted Monday, March 24th, 2014. Quo Wanto filed in Columbia County, New York. This is the beginning of the end, and we need everyone paying attention. Everyone should be on tonight's call, and I know everyone isn't on tonight's call, so I guess a lot of people are sleeping. Here's the bottom line. We're either going to save this nation or we're not, and it's going to take the people to do it. A small group of people can't do it. You know, we need everybody on board. Now, we're not asking everybody to come to New York, but we do need everybody paying attention to what's going on in New York so that you could do it in your own states. We do need every single person in New York that is connected to us, and we have many. We need them up on April 7th, on the court date in Columbia County. We need them there. Everybody needs to set aside all their business. No matter what they're doing, they need to take off from work. They need to take off from school. They need to cancel any appointments. You need to be there at 9:30 in Columbia County at the courthouse. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that once we read this paper, and we'll give the address, and we'll start posting it all over. But we've got 2 weeks. It's not next Monday. It's the Monday after. So we got the second Monday from today is when we're going to have this court case. It is absolutely necessary that people be there. We're asking people that are close by in other states to come in. Connecticut, there's people that are close by in Connecticut that come in. There's people up in Vermont and New Hampshire that can come in. There's people even in Pennsylvania. We got some borders of Pennsylvania that's pretty close to us. Jersey, a lot of people in Jersey can come up. But we need everybody there. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that in a short while. But first of all, I just want to cover a couple of problems and just go through a few notes I have, and then we're going to look at the quo wanto. The site contact and tech support is not for posting views on any subject. It's for support only. If people want to, you know, some people are sending me long emails through that that site contact, and trust me, I just delete them. I don't have the time to read long emails if they come to me. And there's a drop-down box on the top of our page. Let's see what it is. If you click on tech support or contacts, let's say you click on contacts. If you click on contacts, you got to read the page, and it'll tell you, you know, if you have questions, where to go for that. If you're looking for county organizers, where to go for that. State organizers, where to go for that. If you need tech support, then there's there's details on how to get there and get the information there that you might need for whatever technical problem you might have. But when you get to the technical support, which you can get to on the top left side of the page, just click on tech support. It does give you some solutions of some of the major problems. People need to read this, you know. For instance, before contacting tech support, read the following first. If you cannot sign in, and then it goes through different instructions, and if that doesn't work, try this, and then try that. At some point, if you can't get it going, then you file a ticket with tech support. The other, like I said, the contact director, which comes mostly to me, my son might be reading some of this stuff, or I might be reading it and trying to respond as best we can. You know, this is mostly for people, like news reporters particularly, we would prefer, you know, if they want to make a contact that way. There's also a phone number for news. But if something important and you can't, and there's no other solution, then send me some short message through there, and we'll try to talk. My phone number, you can call me during the day, and even in the evenings, 845-233-6560. But don't call me unless it's important. If you can hold off till Monday and ask the question, you know, on a Monday night program, that's fine. But if it's, you know, maybe some other kind of a situation, you can just reach me by the phone number I just gave, and we'll just take it from there. Let's see. Anybody that is going to be coming up to the courthouse on April 7th, 9:30 a.m., send me an email. I created an email, a new email, just for this purpose, because I'd like to try to get a count. I'd like to have an idea on who's coming up, how many people are coming. So if people are carpooling it, or you're coming up and you're bringing friends or relatives or neighbors, you know, just tell me. You know, you send an email to standingup, S-T-A-N-D-I-N-G, up, U-P, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Let me repeat that. Standingup at nationallibertyalliance.org. And just tell me how many people are coming up. You know, say, I'm coming up and I'm bringing three people with me. Total of four. Or two, or one, or whatever it is. We need to have an idea on who's showing up. We need to make an impression on the court. We need to make sure we not only fill that room, but we pour outside of the room and outside of the building. I'd like to get hundreds, and I'd like to get a lot more than hundreds, but hundreds is good enough, I think. We need a lot of people. If we show up there with a handful of people, we're not going to be as powerful as we would showing up with hundreds of people. So we need to fill that courtroom. anybody, to those who have not yet donated, if anybody, you know, if you can donate $5 a month, we're asking everybody to send in $5 a month, which is pretty reasonable. $5 a month is the taxes that you would pay for a coffee and a roll and butter. You know, if you buy one every day, 5 days a week for a month, $5 is about what that tax is on that coffee and roll. Most people can afford $5 a month. I know there are extreme situations where some people just can't, and we appreciate that. But there are a lot of people out there that have helped us to pay these bills and keep things going, and we need other people to participate. You know, we've had some people actually give us $1,000. Got a lot of people giving us, you know, $50 or $100, one-time type thing, not monthly. And that has really been helpful and has really kept us going. Some people have given us 10, 20, even $50 a month. And a lot of people have given us $5 a month, and that's all we're really asking for. So if you can give us $5 a month, that would really help supporting all the work that we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, and definitely keep us going and add on to a lot of the things that we want to do on the site. So whatever you can do, we'd appreciate it. So those who haven't yet participated, please consider doing that. All right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the writ of quo warranto. We're going to start with the summons. I'm going to try to explain some of the things here and what we're doing so that people have a better understanding. We have three memorandums that are attached to this writ, which I'm not going to read through. But I think I might read the last memorandum. I'm looking to see how many pages that is. If I recall, that was a pretty short one. Yeah, that's 7 pages. And it's double space. No, is it double space? Well, we got a lot of footnotes, I think. Anyway, I'm going to breeze through that one there because it's an important one. But let's look at, we'll start with the summons. We'll read through. Gerard, do you have a copy of this? If you do, maybe I'll read the summons, and maybe you can start reading some of the papers. We can take turns. Are you there?
What do you want me to read? need a copy of what? It's all online, so yeah, I got copies.
Yeah, if you got a copy of the Quo Vanto, you know, open up a copy and maybe we'll take turns a little bit. I'll start reading it, then I'll pass it to you for a few pages. We'll go back and forth. We'll try to go through quick. I do want to comment at certain areas so people understand exactly what we're doing. One of the key things we're doing in the courtroom, the judge that we have, you know, all the judges are judges. They're not justices. In common law, they're justices. Justices are not the tribunal. They're magistrates, and they're supposed to represent the sovereign of the case. But the sovereign or the jury gets to make the decisions, not the judge. but the judge does, or the justice, justice does sign. When the judge comes into the court and the bailiff comes out and says, all rise, we are not going to rise for this judge. That's going to be the first shot across his bow to let him know that we mean business here and that we are unified. And the way they're running their court system, they don't deserve the respect of us rising. Now, if a man walks out and he's a justice and he's carrying the Bible, well, okay, we'll rise. We'll rise to the Bible. We'll rise to what he represents if he understands his position. But right now, we have to train these people, so we're not going to rise. We're going to stay seated. But let's start off with the summons. The caption. We have up on the caption, it says, the people of New York. And we have in Latin, coram ipso regi. I don't know, Gerard, if you can take a better shot at pronouncing that. But ultimately, what that means is before the king himself. And so it is representing the king or the people. And we read in the, let me see what case this is, Lansing versus Smith, the people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. The second group of people here that's in this heading is New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury. And underneath that it says coram nobis. And coram nobis means the same thing, but it's before us ourselves. So the point we're trying to make here is this, is that the grand jury is the tribunal of the courtroom during the pre-trial period. Once they go into the trial, now the tribunal is the jury, the trial jury. And so the judge doesn't get to make any decisions as far as rulings, you know, motions and things of that nature. Generally, in common law, those things don't even exist. But if they did come up, it would be up to the grand jury to make a decision on that. If the prosecutor wanted to work a deal out with the accused, they got to get the grand jury's approval. They can't do that without the grand jury. Once the grand jury indicts, they're going to court. That's the way it's supposed to be. Only the grand jury can make a deal or an arrangement with the accused. And, of course, the grand jury should always try to make an arrangement with the accused before sending them into court. If they believe that they're probably guilty, then they should try to make an arrangement. But during the preliminary process, if the accused does not want to make a deal, and then they go through the process and they're going through the preliminary process and it hadn't come to the trial yet, if they wanted to change their mind, they could do so. But the grand jury would have to be notified and they'd have to come in and they'd be the one to make the arrangements. It would not be the prosecutor. Prosecutor can give us their thoughts, but that's all we get from him or her. Okay, so this is a writ of quo vanto. I'm going to start with the summons. You are hereby summoned and required to answer by paper and in person this endorsed summons in the New York Supreme Court, Columbia County Courthouse, located at so-and-so. Date, the 7th date of April 2014 at 9:30 a.m. Upon your failure to answer, it will be interpreted as contempt of court and an admission of willful intent engaging in criminal activity against the people of New York. An arrest warrant will be issued and judgment will be taken against you for the relief demanded in the quo vanto. And this is precisely why we're going into the court with this thing, so that we will get those arrest warrants. This is a common law procedure executed coam nobis, the meaning being before the king himself. the King's Bench is present. The magistrate has no authority to approve requests for time extensions or postpone said summons. A grand jurist will be laying aside all business and will be traveling from across the state. Likewise is expected of the accused. We know they love to play these tricks. They love to cancel things, especially when they know that people are probably going to come. They try to upset us. And they also might try to set in some kind of a hearing for a motion to dismiss or a motion for this. Well, we wanted to get that right in the beginning and make it clear that that's not an option. And the judge has no authority, who is the magistrate, obviously, has no authority to make those decisions. This procedure is for show cause to the criminal allegations presented by the extraordinary writ quo vanto, demanding that the people's stewards give account of their stewardship. Therefore, no motion will be considered. Answers are demanded. And then it's signed. And then signed by the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and we have an address for that down in Valhalla, Westchester. The quo vanto. Now, up on the top right side, we have the Latin, opsta principis, and that's the best guess I can take on how to pronounce that. And what that means, it is in opposition to nisi prius. It means to withstand the beginnings. So what we're saying right up front, stop the nisi prius. It goes no further. We do not agree. We do not accept. We do not acknowledge. It's just another point to make to this particular judge and let him know we're not going to participate in the statutory process. This is common law. Okay, writ of quo vanto. New York Unified Common Law Jury, hereinafter the people, come against the State of New York Supreme Court, charging, and then we name the five judges, for neglect to prevent, conspiracy, and felony rescue concerning the indictments against A. Gale Prudente and a bunch of other people that we've indicted, hereinafter the wrongdoers in this court of record, proceeding according to the common law. Then the heading, Coam Nobis. Again, Coam Nobis, before the king himself. This is a common law proceeding appearing before the people themselves to answer to the people this writ of quo vanto, directed upon New York State Judicial Executive Branch servants. Personal appearances required. Failure to appear will be considered a contempt of court and subject to arrest. Said servants have duty to speak without attorneys. And then we give a Supreme Court quote, which we have twice suggested that not held, that the Sixth Amendment right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before a grand jury, even if he is the subject of that investigation. And that, of course, comes from quite a few different cases, but it also comes out of United States versus Williams. Now, the point is this is quo vanto. We've sent them a quo vanto before. They totally ignored it. They didn't answer it. So now we're doing it in the system within the courthouse, and we feel confident that we can control the court at this point and prevent this judge from trying to make any ruling whatsoever. And so by doing it in the court and requiring them to come, it now goes on record. They have to answer, and they know, this is really going to surprise them, I think. But the bottom line, they're coming into a courthouse as the servants. We're not going to talk to anybody that's representing them. They're not going to talk through an insulator. They're not going to talk through an attorney. They need to come and talk for themselves. Silence is guilt. They're not going to remain silent. As a matter of fact, we're going to be discussing and brainstorming some of the strategies here, and I think one of the strategies here is once the court is called into order, we're going to ask all attorneys to leave the room, with the exception of the judge. All attorneys must leave the room. They don't participate in this. This is a grand jury procedure on and for the record, and they have no rights to attorneys. They want to remain silent in the room? Fine. That means they're guilty. And people have the right to remain silent when they're accused of something or something goes on. But when someone who is an elected servant or even an appointed servant, especially an oath taker, okay, they have a duty to speak. They cannot remain silent. They have no right to remain silent. None whatsoever. When they're acting in the capacity of their duty, whatever position they're holding. Whatever, you know, outside of their position as they walk in, you know, regular life and whatever comes up and they want to remain silent, they have the same rights we do. But in that capacity, as a servant, they have given up that right. They've been given special authorities and abilities. And they can change people's lives. They can destroy people's lives with the authority we've given to them. And so they don't have the right of silence when we ask them. They have a duty to speak. Goes on. We command that Jonathan, and we mention all of the names, show by what warrant they exercise such a franchise that enables them to conspire and misuse their office, usurping themselves under the color of law in order to prevent the sovereign people of New York from exercising their unalienable rights of self-government declared by the Declaration of Independence and protected under the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendments, thereby disenfranchising all the sovereign people of New York and thereby causing the triumph of the corporate title State of New York. Now, anybody that's been studying the UCC stuff and common law stuff, they understand what that statement means. I'm not going to talk much about that. That's something we're going to look at later and talk about another day. But again, some people will understand what that means. The sovereign people also command that, then all the people that have been indicted, Agel, Prudente, and so on, be arrested, removed from office immediately, and proceed for trial. Wrongdoers are servants under oath, holding positions of trust, and have a lawful duty to answer plainly and directly to the sovereign people. Silence is fraud, and therefore an admission of guilt. And then we quote the court case, the Supreme Court cases, quite a few of them, that make that clear. Wrongdoers, being servants, are not to answer through counsel. It is an insult to the sovereign people when a steward commanded to give account of their stewardship insulates themselves with counsel, and double so when they expect that their masters is to pay for that priestly counsel. We, the people, will receive answers through counsel as non-answers. Furthermore, this is a writ of quo vanto. Therefore, a motion of any kind is not valid, and if made, will be taken as a non-answer. Failure to respond or responding inappropriately will be considered contempt of court. The servant simply does not have the authority to legislate or decree any common law endowed upon the people with or without their consent. Decree away. I knew that sounded wrong. Let me reread that. The servant simply does not have the authority to legislate or decree away common law endowed upon the people with or without their consent. To attempt or to accomplish that malviolence would be an act of treason, a clear act of war upon the people. Now, we have some footnotes here and there that gives a little more information on some of these statements we're making in order to give the authorities by which we're speaking about, in other words, an act of treason and a clear act of war upon the people. If wrongdoers, and then we mention them again, all their names, confess that they have erred, and proceed to inform the 62 clerks of the court to call upon the custodians of the court to make provisions to receive the sovereign people to their rightful place within the courthouse, a reprieve from the said charges against them will be granted. The sovereign people have no desire to seek out and prosecute past wrongdoers. We desire only to look forward and work with our servants to heal our land. We the people proceed obsta principis, which again, I believe, let me see, memorandum, obsta principis. Okay, well, we refer him back to a memorandum of law and jurisdiction, which is attached to this. But we mentioned the meaning of obsta principis a little earlier, which is to seize or to refuse the first move. In other words, not according to Nisi Prius. In other words, not statutory. And by our own authority as the ordainers of this republic, any attempt by the officers of the court, now this particularly is focusing in on the judge, any attempt by the officers of the court to move in the direction of fiction will be considered an act of lawless violence, and said court officers would be vulnerable to collateral attack from this Superior Court of Record, immediately with a predetermination by the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury that such an act is an act of treason, felony rescue, and warrants an immediate prepared presentment. Therefore, the magistrate is to reflect the virtuous will of the tribunal. See Memorandum of Law of the case. Now we're going to move to grievances. Before I move to grievances, Gerard, are you there now? You want to pick up and read from this point a little bit?
Sure.
And before you do that, hang on 1 second. I don't know whether I lost my page here. Okay, here it is. Anybody that wants to get into the queue for questions, what do you have to press? *6 and then *1?
Yep.
*6. So anybody that wants...
And then 1. I don't know, you have to do *1.
Yeah, people are already doing it. So *6, *1, and you'll be put into the queue. And so when we go to the questions and answers, you'll be, you know, we'll take your question, you know, according to how you get into this queue. So you might want to do that now if you want to speak. Good. Why don't you read for a while? Read the grievance areas, and then we'll refrain. If I want to comment on something, I'll just stop you, but go right ahead.
Okay, so grievances. Wrongdoers are required to affirmatively prove the authority claimed by written citation of the articles and sections of the Constitution that pertain to your claim, that the people cannot have access to their court to administer to juries or comply immediately. Then we have government officers and agents are required to affirmatively prove whatever authority they claim. In the absence of proof, they may be held personally accountable for loss, injury, or damages. And then there you have your cases, Ryder versus U.S. and couple other ones there. Failure to contest is an assertion, is considered evidence of the acquiescence. U.S. Supreme Court, Mitchell versus United States, argued December 1998. For purposes of this subdivision, an evasive or incomplete disclosure, answer, or response is to be treated as a failure to disclose, answer, or respond. Cunningham versus Hamilton County argued.
Yeah, that's all you need to say. You don't have to go through all the numbers. Cunningham versus Hamilton. Go ahead.
United States versus Williams says, although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse, under the judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Wrongdoers in an act of violence, an act of tyranny, block the sovereign people from operating out of the courthouse, thereby forcing sovereign people to take actions in tents outside the courthouse under judicial auspices of the process. Wrongdoers acted in concert, thereby conspiratorial under the color of law, using their entrusted authority to prevent the sovereign people from functioning as a grand jury. Clearly, no such authority exists. Wrongdoers' actions have denied the sovereign people's right of self-rule by claiming the Fifth Amendment is unfettered right of jury has been abrogated. Wrongdoers who are hired servants claim courts have supervisory control over the sovereign people and that they cannot form outside the auspices of the court, where U.S. versus Williams concluded, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that, as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists, and that the disclosure rule applied here exceeded the Tenth Circuit's authority. Given the grand jury's operational separateness from its constituting court, it should come as no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory power as a basis for prescribing modes of grand jury procedure. Over the years, we have received many requests to exercise supervision over the grand jury's evidence-taking process, but we have refused them all, including some more appealing than the one presented here, and that was U.S. versus Williams. Furthermore, the preamble states, "We the people ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America, which clearly ranks the people above the Constitution and our servant government under the chains of the Constitution with no authority whatsoever to alter it. Are their heads turning around and green stuff coming out yet? Wrongdoers claim the Fifth Amendment is territorial and does not apply to the states. But the Supremacy Clause says different. This Constitution and all the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and the treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And that's the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 6, Clause 2. Wrongdoers claim the courts controlled by them does not permit for grand jury controlled by the people. But the United States versus William said because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter, at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. And New York Constitution, Article 1, Bill of Rights, Section 6. The power of grand juries to inquire into the willful misconduct of an office of public officers and to find indictments or to direct the filing of information in connections with such inquiries shall never be suspended or impaired by law. Article 1 of the Bill of Rights, Section 1. No member of this state shall be disenfranchised or deprived of any rights or privileges secured by it to any citizen thereof. Wrongdoers have defrauded the sovereign people by changing our common law courts of records to statutory courts not of record, thereby fraud carrying the people away to foreign courts, unbeknownst to them because of centralized education.
You want me to pick up the next section and you'll get the
yeah,
last?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You want to do the
injuries. Because judges, not sovereign people, monitor themselves, our courts have lost justice, godliness. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, we have government corporatism by servant judges and not by the people. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, sovereign people without bar attorneys consistently find themselves cast out of court under the guise of no standing or no cause of action. Because judges, not people, monitor themselves, the sovereign people find themselves under corporate charter and not the Constitution. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people are hijacked into nisi prius courts. Nisi prius courts means statutory courts, courts of statutes. Because judges, not sovereign people, monitor themselves, people, after denying consent to the fraudulent jurisdiction, are steamrolled in anyway. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, judges maintain the status quo. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, judges are politically expedient and ignore jurisprudence. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people are fleeced by corporate tax collectors. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people imprisoned for crimes they did not commit. Because judges, not the sovereign peoples, monitor themselves, people imprisoned by statutes with no injured party. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people lose their homes and savings to corporations without contracts or sworn affidavits. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people lose their children to the lawless corporate social services. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people lose their dignity, life savings, homes, and their right to peace in their twilight years. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people are exposed to poisons in the air they breathe, the food they eat, and the water that they drink. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the First Amendment for redress of grievances, for freedom of religion, and free speech. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the Second Amendment for a regulated militia and to keep and bear arms without infringements. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the Fourth Amendment to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, which includes cars and financial institutions, against unreasonable search and seizures. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost the unalienable right protected by the Fifth Amendment to administer to their own grand juries, not puppets, thereby having due process of law. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the Sixth Amendment to a speedy trial and a public trial by an impartial jury and assistance of counsel, not attorneys. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the Seventh Amendment to common law and trial by jury of the people. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their unalienable right protected by the Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail, cruel and unusual punishment inflicted by the courts should not be all about jail and money for the state, but about the restoration of the injured party. Because judges, not the sovereign people, monitor themselves, people have lost their protection of domestic tranquility through constant assault by corporate codes, agents, and swarms of corporate police, common defense, foreign troops on American soil, general welfare, and liberty. Duty of the courts. You want to read that one? Gerard? I'll read it. Duty of the courts. Wrongdoers are derelict of duty. Boyd versus the United States. It is the duty of the courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizens and against any stealthy encroachments thereon. Wrongdoers have brought upon the people an evil day. Downs versus Bidwell. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside supreme law finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. No higher duty rests upon the courts than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. Wrongdoers are guilty of treason to the Constitution. Cohen versus Virginia. We judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Wrongdoers were not watchful for the constitutional rights of the people. This one will be Boyd versus the United States. It may be that it is the obnoxious thing in its mildest form, but illegitimate and unconstitutional practices get their first footing in that way, namely by silent approaches and slight deviations from legal modes of procedure. This can only be obviated by adhering to the rule that constitutional provisions for the security of persons and property should be liberally construed. A close and liberal construction deprives them of half their efficacy and leads to gradual depreciation of the right, as if it consisted more in sound than in substance. It is the duty of the courts to be watchful for constitutional rights of the citizens and against any stealthy encroachment thereon. The motto should be Obsta Principis, Boyd versus United States. And of course, that's why we put this on the top. That is the motto. To first stop. We're not going forward, but to resist and stop Nisi Prius.
What'd you do?
All the wrong. Yeah, you wasn't here.
I'm sorry. I had to answer the phone. I didn't hear you call on me. You want me to continue?
Okay, let me just finish this last paragraph. You can pick up the wherefore.
Okay, go ahead.
All the wrongdoers acted in concert under color of law, statutes, regulations, and custom, having willfully deprived the people of New York of our unalienable rights and immunities secured and protected by the United States Constitution. Pick up the wherefore.
Wherefore, we the people demand that you give account of your stewardship. Answer the aforementioned grievances by affidavit under penalty of perjury and not through counsel. communicate to all court clerks and judges to stand down. Introduce the common law grand jury administrators of each county to the custodian for access to the courthouse, for office space, and a conference room. 4. Notify the New York State Comptroller of the transfer of duties and therefore the funds necessary for the expenses for the unified New York common law grand jury administrators. 5. A written certified copy of your constitutional oath of office required by Article 6, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution for the United States. 6. A written copy of your civil commission as agent or officer of the government you claim to work for as required by Article 2, Subsection 3 of the Constitution of the United States of America and attending legislation. 7. Your affidavit declaring that you did not pay for or otherwise make a promise and consideration to secure the office. 8. Your personal surety bond and documentation that establishes your complete line of chain of command, delegated authority, including all intermediaries, beginning with the President of the United States and the governor of the state you claim authority from. 9. These documents should be filed as public records, see 5 U.S.C. subsection 2906 for requirements concerning filing oaths of office. In the event that you do not have a personal surety bond, you may provide a copy of your financial statement, which you are required to file annually. Your financial statement will be construed as a private treaty surety bond in the event that you exceed lawful authority. 10. Collateral issues other than the above request intended to your document, intended to document your personal standing will be addressed separately from this demand. 11. You must provide the requested items within 10 calendar days from the receipt of this demand. Failure to comply with all the demands of this writ of quorum will be an admission that all the parties are willful intent engaging in criminal activity against the people and will be interpreted as a contempt of court. If you fail to satisfy the demand within the allotted time after having been duly served with this quorum, then by tacit procreation, the unified New York common law grand jury will determine for the state of New York Supreme Court wrongdoers and persons acting in concert who caused said injuries to secure the people's substantive rights and to redeem damages owed the people and take lawful action in personam and in rem to redeem the damages owed the people and determine for you the following. 1. That aforesaid demand is just dissolution of the corporate charter. 3. That a court of record in New York may enforce the demand either ex parte or con parte. That you and each of you concur and are satisfied with the justice of the demand and the process by which the demand shall be enforced. Signed by order on behalf of the Unified Common Law Grand Jury, Scribbles, Administrator. Okay, then we got all
okay,
the
appeals. Okay, as we read in the beginning of this thing, and we mentioned we're not going to talk about it, but I do want to point out to number two, dissolution.
Dissolution
of the corporate charter. Anybody who understands the UCC stuff and the common law and has been studying, they know what that means. We're not going to talk about it, but I do want to make the point for those who do understand. This is a very powerful paper, and we have all the authorities and everything necessary to write such a paper. This probably has not been done in 100 years, definitely has not been done on the level that we're doing it at. So this is kind of the big history here. Now, there are three memorandums, and these three memorandums are extremely important to read in order to understand the process of what, you know, what this paper has to say. It interprets it in a much more in-depth way. One of the memorandums is a memorandum of the law of the case, and what that does is it defines the players within the courtroom. Who is the tribunal, and who is the magistrate? And what the magistrate is, and he is to reflect the will of the king or the will of the people. Okay, so it describes the players in the courtroom particularly. There's another paper in here that we wrote and put in here. It's called Memorandum of Law and Jurisdiction, making clear what the law of the land is, making clear what jurisdiction we come by and by what authorities, and that nothing other than a common law jurisdiction should be found in any courthouse on the soil of anywhere within the United States. Now, the third one, we wrote a paper a while back, and it was called Extraordinary Writs. And when you opened it up, it had a title called The King's Bench. And so we took that particular memorandum, and we kind of wanted to be a little more clear on the meaning in the, of the King's Bench and by what authority we operate by. So we wrote this memorandum specially for this case. And we will use it in other court cases also, because I think it's a very powerful, it's a very good memorandum, in my opinion. So it's a memorandum of law on the King's Bench. And I'm going to read it. I may pass a little of this over to you, Gerard. Let's see how it gets going. But the King's Bench. The purpose of this memorandum is to clarify that the King's Bench is the authority of the court, and that a court of record is a court that proceeds according to the common law under the authority of the people. The Fifth Amendment demands a traditional common law grand jury. United States versus William. The Court of Appeals rule would neither preserve nor enhance the tradition functioning of a grand jury that the common law of the Fifth Amendment demands. Now, this is key. This was said in United States versus Williams, and he, you know, Anton Scalia very specifically said the functioning of the grand jury that the common law of the Fifth Amendment demands. That makes the grand jury a common law grand jury, just like the law of the land is the common law. The trial jury is, again, the same thing. It is the common law. Every court is bound to obey the common law. And we read this in the Supremacy Clause. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. That is the supreme court law of the land. So when these judges tell us that the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply to them, or it doesn't apply in this state, or our unalienable rights don't apply here, or they don't have to be obedient onto the United States Supreme Court rulings, or that U.S. code doesn't affect us, we have New York codes. They are violating their oath of office, they are lying, and they're abusing the system, and they're bringing us over into a foreign court called Nisi Prius, which is statutory. And of course, this Supremacy Clause was found in Article 6 of the Constitution, Clause 2. Marbury versus Madison. Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principles supposed to be essential to all written Constitution, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by the instrument. And after more than 200 years, this decision still stands. Again, Marbury versus Madison. If any statement within any law which is passed is unconstitutional, the whole law is unconstitutional. Hoke versus Henderson. That statute which would deprive its citizen the right of persons or property without regard to a trial according to the course and usage of the common law would not be the law of the land. Miranda versus Arizona. And anybody who hasn't read Miranda versus Arizona, you should read that paper. It's filled with all these great gold nuggets, just like the Williams case. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rule making or legislation which would abrogate them. Although we have been told that the common law has been abrogated here in New York, and that was done by, Prudente, and she did that in writing, as a matter of fact, and sent it out to all of the clerks. And when she did that, she sealed her fate, because that's the smoking gun. That was the conspiracy. That is RICO.
Hey, the other thing is, that's very powerful here is, just like the night we had the meeting with, and the deputies were there, and he said that they had one district court judge overturned the magazine ban on the SAFE Act and declared it unconstitutional. But that was the Third Circuit. We're in the Second Circuit, so that doesn't count for us. Right there, any statement within any law which is passed is unconstitutional. The whole law is unconstitutional. See, that's these guys that want to pick and choose what part of the SAFE Act that they're going to enforce. It's all baloney. So this pertains to everything they're doing. So that was an important point. I didn't realize that was Marbury versus Madison, and it hasn't been overturned in 200 years, or I would have told him that. But anyway, go ahead, John.
A court of record proceeds according to the common law, whose tribunal, we the people, functioning independently of the magistrate. And again, that is key. We the people are the tribunal. The magistrate is independent of that tribunal. He is the reflector of the king, the reflector of the people. He is the just will of the people. A court of record. Now, this is, what is this? This is Jones versus Jones. And these are all U.S. Supreme Court rulings. A court of record is a judicial tribunal having attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate, designed generally to hold it. We are going to lay before this guy's bench papers, arrest warrants, and various other papers, and we're going to require him to sign it. And we're going to try to get sheriffs there and send the sheriffs out right from that point to go out and start doing some arrests and probably begin with some of the people in that courtroom. Now, I don't know whether we're going to be able to achieve this, but this is, of course, what we're going to do, and I don't see how they can refuse it. And if we have to, maybe we'll move into the marshals. But we've got different options to work on should they not obey what needs to be obeyed in this courtroom on the 7th of April. Generally to hold it, and the proceedings according to the course of the common law, its acts and proceedings being enrolled for a perpetual memorial. The New York Supreme Court is a court of record. New York State Constitution, Article 4, Article 6, 1B. The Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, including the appellate division thereof, the courts of the claims, Court of Claims, the County Court, the Surrogate Court, the Family Court, the courts of a court of civil and criminal jurisdiction of the City of New York, and such other courts as the legislator may determine shall be courts of record. And a court of record is one that proceeds according to the common law. Only courts of record can find and incarcerate. So anybody that has been incarcerated or fined by a court that is nisi prius, they didn't have the authority to do it. They did it only because you gave them consent. You must resist the first. Courts of record and courts not of record, the former being those whose acts and judicial proceedings are enrolled or recorded for perpetual memory and testimony, and which have the power to fine or imprison for contempt. Errors lies to their judgment, and they generally possess a seal. That didn't make sense. Errors lies to their judgment, and they generally, I don't know if that's a misprint there. Gotta go look that up. And generally possess a seal. Courts not of record are those of inferior dignity, which have no power to fine or imprison, and in which the proceedings are enrolled or recorded. No criminal trial can proceed without the will of the people, that being the common law grand jury. Deceiving one of the people to make a plea does not give the judge authority to claim jurisdiction. This is the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, nor be deprived of life, liberty, property, without due process of law. No criminal trial can proceed without the will of the people, common law trial jury. A judge does not have the authority to make a judgment. Sixth Amendment. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy trial and a public trial by an impartial jury, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusations to be confronted with the witness against him, and to have the assistance of counsel, not attorney, assistance of counsel, for his defense. That's the Sixth Amendment. No judge has the authority to second-guess or overturn a decision by the people, the jury. The trial is to according to common law. Seventh Amendment. The right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. That was the Seventh Amendment. Judges are magistrates and not the tribunal. They possess no power to make a ruling, that is a judgment. New York law, subsection 30, New York Code, section 30, judges are magistrates. New York Family Court, part 5, subsection 151, judges are magistrates. Ex parte Watkins, 3 Peter. Acts and judicial proceedings are enrolled or recorded for perpetual memory and testimony, proceeds according to the course of common law, has the power to fine or imprison for contempt, possesses a seal, its judicial tribunal, or has attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate, designed generally to hold it. The judicial executive branch have turned the New York State Supreme Court into a nisi prius court, not of record, thereby becoming a hybrid, combining a statutory and chancery court, both without the approval of the king, whereas justice can never be served. This maxim is by Lord Coke to the courts and terms of law. Minoritas, not sure of that word, being understood in the sense in differences, inferiority, or qualification. Thus, the style of the king's bench is coam regi, and the style of the court of chancery is coam domino regi. In chancellera, the addition showing the difference. So the one being, of course, where is that? Coam regi is before the king himself. The domino regi in coram domino regi is not the tribunal. We did have
the chancellor who the king bequeaths with that ability to do that.
Right. That was the key. You see, going back into the earlier days when the king couldn't be everywhere, he would set up chancery courts where people didn't have to necessarily chase down the king to get a decision. They can go to a court that was ruled by a chancery. And the chancery is a judge, but he's judging and ruling. It's called chancery. And he's judging and ruling in the name of the king. And he is to represent the will of the king, which is to represent the will of the people. And so he's very much aware and astute to all of the decisions of the king and all of his writings so that he can rule just like the king rules. And should he have a problem where the king didn't make a rule, he is able to make it up right there on the bench. But it should be in consistency with the will of the king. And if he was to go outside of that, he could lose his head. So that's what the chancery courts were. And that's what they've created in America here. They've created our courts into chancery courts, and these judges actually make judgments right off the bench, and they rule not the will of the king, but the will of the legislators. So the whole thing has been just debacled. Well, we don't have in America chancery courts. We have courts by the people. We bypass the chancery altogether, and the people themselves rule. Okay, statutory courts, officers of the court, cannot second-guess the judgment of a court of record and are subject to collateral attack by the courts of record, which are the sovereigns of the court. You want to pick it up and read there for a while? Gerard?
Yeah, sure.
So on page 4, 102.
Yeah, gotcha. The decisions of a superior court may only be challenged in a court of appeal. The decisions of an inferior court are subject to collateral attack. In other words, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court directly rather than resort to an appeal to an appellate.
And that's what we do all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
decision of a court of record may not be appealed. It is binding on all other courts. However, no statutory or constitutional court, whether it be an appellate or a Supreme Court, can second-guess the judgment of a court of record. The judgment of a court of record, whose jurisdiction is final, is as conclusive on all the world as a judgment of this court would be. It's as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to all inquiry concerning the fact by deciding it. Ex parte Watkins. That's Schinkelhoff and Bustamante. That's a big one. The people are the king, and the king's bench is the jury, grand jury, or trial. Only the sovereign people can be the tribunal. Quorum ipso regi, before the king himself. The old name of the court of the king's bench, which was originally held before the king in person. The people of this state, as successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Lansing versus Smith, and there are lots of other cases here. That's pretty good. King's Bench under Black's Law, the Supreme Court of Common Law in England, being so-called because the king used formerly to sit there in person, the style of the court being quorum ipso regi. Quorum nobis, Black's Law. Before us ourselves, the king, that is to say, the king or the queen's bench, applied to the writs of error directed at another branch of the same court, that is to say, from the full bench to the court at Nisi Prius. Tribunal, the seat of the judge, the place where he administers justice, but by this term is more usually understood by the whole body of judges, being the jury, who compose a jurisdiction, sometimes is taken for the jurisdiction which they exercise. Only the king, meaning the people, is sovereign. The state has eclipsed sovereignty. New York Code, New York CVR Law, Subsection 2, New York Code, Subsection 2, supreme sovereignty in the people. No authority can on any pretense whatsoever be exercised over the citizens of this state, but such as is or shall be derived from and granted by the people of this state. A consequence of this prerogative is the legal ambiguity of the king. His majesty in the eye of the law is always present in all his courts. Though he cannot personally distribute justices, his judges are the mirror by which the king's image is reflected. And that was in Blackstone's, and I don't know what fort section, whatever that is. Sovereignty itself, of course, is not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts, and the law is definition and limitation of power. Yick versus Woe Hopkins. The very meaning of sovereignty is that decree of the sovereign makes the law, that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. The Congress cannot invoke the sovereign power of the people to override their will, as thus declared, Perry versus U.S. It is the public policy of this state that a public agencies exist in the aid to aid in the conduct of the people's business. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. At the Revolution, sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country. But they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves. Chisholm versus Georgia, imagine that. Extraordinary remedies. The writs of mandamus, which is we command, quorwanto, kings and core inquiry of usurpers, habeas corpus, released from an unlawful imprisonment, and some others are sometimes called extraordinary remedies.
Let me make a point to that. The heading up here was the extraordinary writs, which are the king's remedies, the sovereign's remedy. This is very interesting because here in New York, they don't recognize a lot of these writs, the writ of mandamus that they don't recognize. They don't recognize the habeas corpus, and they don't even know anything about also this one, which is the quo warranto. But the reason why they don't acknowledge them and they've kind of just swept them under the rug and don't even talk about them no more, and of course not acknowledging them, is because they only come from the king's bench. They don't come from any court. They come from the king's bench directly. The quo warranto comes from either the grand jury or the trial jury. Either or can put it out. But generally speaking, it would be the preliminary work, the pre-trial, which would come from the grand jury. You see, the grand jury should be more involved in the decision-making of all of the pre-trial decisions. When these lawyers get together, you know, those who are the prosecutor, and then on the other side, the lawyers that are representing the defendants, and they get before the judge, and they have to come up with a question or looking for a solution or an answer, that judge cannot make it. They got to bring that back to the grand jury for them to make that decision in that court case. Any pre-trial determinations must be done by the people, not by a judge, and that's key. Now, really, the point is there really shouldn't be many motions or any of these things. Most of all of these meetings that they have in the court prior to the case, which they love to do lots of them, you know, they're constantly having all these conferences because it makes money for all the lawyers. Everybody's making money off of this. Every time you come together, people are spending more money, and the lawyers are getting a fatter paycheck. But most of these conferences are unconstitutional. They're not according to common law. And the case is supposed to be set out, and right in the beginning, everything is to be put up front. You're not supposed to go chasing down the evidence. It's supposed to be put right up front. And then the other side gets the opportunity to look at all this evidence, and then they have to put all of their evidence up front. And then the case gets going. But they don't do it that way. So anyway, this is very important to understand that this quo warranto is the power and the authority of the common law grand jury to be able to be brought into a procedural court, which is what we're doing, and demand the answering and the response for them to give an account of their stewardship. But go ahead, John.
John, didn't they turn the mandamus into an Article 78? Isn't that what they call it now?
Yeah. They got rid of the name mandamus and they turned it over to an Article 70. No, it wasn't mandamus. It was something else.
That was to decide to correct the lower court, and they're not supposed to look into the case. They're only supposed to look into what the judge did wrong. Then you go in and you do this Article 78.
It was the writ of mandamus, which was a correction from a higher court to a lower court.
Right.
And we actually made the mistake of going to the higher court to do it to their lower court when we should have done it ourselves because
right.
If we were the superior court. See, we didn't like to have that knowledge that in those days. And so the superior court had the ability to sue the inferior court. Therefore, they were susceptible to collateral damage. We read that on a couple of places in this paper already.
Right.
And so therefore, the collateral damage is ultimately in the lawsuit. And that's why what we do is we only give them one chance at mercy when we go into a court and they break the rules. And if they don't fix it right there and then when we leave the court, we write a writ of error, and then we add the judge and the lawyer for the defendant, both of them, right into the case. They all become defendants. Then the defendants lose their lawyer. They're kind of upset with that, and the lawyer's upset because he's got to give them their money back. Then they got to go out and find another lawyer. Then this lawyer has to find himself a lawyer because lawyers never represent themselves. And the judge got to find a lawyer because he won't represent himself. So you got all these other lawyers, and you got a new judge on the bench. And then you're going after them for collateral damage. I usually charge $50,000 per incident or per damage per person. Okay, so that starts to add up quite quickly. And if the second judge is foolish enough to do the same thing, well, then you'll get all those lawyers again, which are also, you know, in conspiracy with this situation again. And you got four lawyers now going out looking for four lawyers, plus the defendant looking for another new lawyer. And again, the judge looking for a new lawyer, plus the new judge with a lawyer. You know, before you know it, you got a county full of lawyers on your right side that you're, you know, really suing every single one of them.
It never really
gets that far, though.
The lawyer should
first
be happy
judge.
With you, John. You make them work for him.
Yeah. So one judge usually, and that should settle the thing. But anyway.
All right, so we're at an extraordinary writ issued by a superior court, right?
Right.
To an inferior court to prevent the latter from exceeding its jurisdiction, either by prohibiting it from assuming jurisdiction in a matter over which it has no control, from going beyond its legitimate powers in a matter which it has jurisdiction. State versus Medler.
And that's exactly what we're doing in the court right now. We're issuing an extraordinary writ to the inferior court, which is literally the New York State Supreme Court. Well, actually, State of New York Supreme Court, because you see, they're Nisi Prius Court. They're a corporate court, and that's why their corporate charter is now on the line. But go ahead.
Where am I? An extraordinary judicial writ issuing out of a court of a superior jurisdiction directed to an inferior court or tribunal exercising judicial powers for the purpose of preventing the inferior tribunal from usurping a jurisdiction which it has not lawfully vested. State versus Stanfield. A bunch of them, Jackson, Calhoun, or from exceeding its jurisdiction in matters which it has cognizance. Then you got coruanto, an old English practice, a writ in the nature of a writ of a right for the king against him who claimed or usurped any office, franchise, or liberty to inquire by what authority he supported his claim in order to determine the right.
Bingo.
It lay
that's what
also,
we're doing.
What's that?
That's what we're doing. That's the key right there.
It lay also in a case of not a non-user or long neglect of a franchise or a misuser or abuse of it, being a writ commanding the defendant to show by what warrant he exercises such a franchise, having never any grant of it, having forfeited by neglect or abuse, an extraordinary proceeding, prerogative in nature, addressed to preventing a continued exercise of the authority unlawfully asserted, Johnson's versus Manhattan. Prerogative in nature. I don't, what's extraordinary proceeding, prerogative in nature. I have to look that up.
Well, it's the prerogative of the king, the right of the king.
All right.
It's prerogative.
So it's up by
prerogative
his
in nature. It's a right in nature. Yeah.
Okay. Where are we here? Intended to prevent the exercise of powers that are not conferred by law and is not ordinarily available to regulate the manner of exercising such powers, state XL Real Johnson's versus Conservative Savings. Conclusion. The King's Bench is the seat of the tribunal, the judge, for the Supreme Court of the Common Law Court of Record, made up of one or more of the sovereigns with the power to fine or imprison for contempt, and functions independently from the person of the magistrate. Therefore, the King's Bench can only be the jury, grand jury, or petit, or the sovereign of the court. Whenever the King's Bench is impaneled by the people, a court of record is open. Whether it is in its investigative role, grand jury, or in its pretrial mode, petit jury, its authority, power, judgments, and jurisdiction is final and cannot be challenged or overturned. All courts not of record without the King's Bench are inferior courts whose jurisdiction is limited and special and whose proceedings are not according to the course of the common law. Criminal courts proceed according to statutory law. Jurisdiction and procedure is defined by statute. Likewise, civil courts and admiralty courts proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding according to statutory law is not a court of record, which only proceeds according to the common law. It is an inferior court. Extraordinary writs emanate from the King's Bench, and although the tribunal is usually a body of judges, 12 or 25, it can also be executed by the king, the people, himself, and can only be refuted by the sworn affidavit of another king, another people. These extraordinary writs are extraordinary remedies. King's Bench is the jury, grand jury, or trial, and the magistrate is bound to obey the wish or will of the king. That's it.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of that memorandum. There was an error in here, and we'll have to make note of it. Not that they would pick it up, but we will correct it in the court when we speak it. make sure we get it right, and that was in this conclusion. The grand jury, let's see, therefore the king's bench can only be the jury, grand or petit, or petit, or the sovereign of the court. Whenever the king's bench is impaneled by the people, a court of record is open. Whether it is in the investigative role, and it should go on to say, or the pre-trial mode, it is the grand jury. Once it gets into the trial, it is now the petit or the petit jury. And it's authority, powers, and judgment, and so on. And jurisdiction is final and cannot be challenged or overturned. And that, of course, is key. All right, so that does bring us to the end of that. So I guess before we move into questions and answers, I just want to make this point. It is absolutely imperative that anyone that could make it to this court date on April 7th at 9:30 in the morning, that's a Monday, to be there. Anybody living in New York should make it their duty to be there. We have 2 weeks to prepare for this. If you're going to go to the court, please send me an email. Send it to standingup@nationallibertyalliance.org. Let me repeat that. Standing up, STANDINGUP, standing up at nationallibertyalliance.org. If you're bringing people with you, tell us how many people you're bringing. We need to get an idea of the account of people that's going to show up. So if you travel, if you're bringing three people and yourself, let us know you're coming with four. Just drop us an email, just give us the numbers, and tell us you'll be there. You're going to be standing up with us. We need everybody in New York to show up. We need as many people from Jersey that can come to show up. And I know Pennsylvania is pretty big. We're not expecting people to come from all the way out on the end of the state, but those are on the eastern side of the state, especially the northeastern side. Come on to New York. We need the help. Anybody in the New England area, we need the help. Connecticut. Connecticut can come. Connecticut, anybody from anywhere in Connecticut could come out. Maybe Rhode Island, Massachusetts. Okay, all of the New England area, come to New York on April 7th at 9:30 a.m. for this court case to stand up. The more people we have, the more fear we will put in the hearts of these people, and they will understand we're not just a couple of people, you know, from one little corner here in the state that's creating all this havoc. We are the people across this state. We are in every county. We are the people of New York, and we are stepping up, and we're telling them we had enough of this, and we're going to demand the rest of these people. We're going to demand the process to go forward. Go ahead.
This is really the climax of what we've been doing. This is the whole enchilada right here, and this is what we've been working for. And I know somebody said, I'm going to fly out from the state of Washington on that day. And you know what? It's that important, because this is history making. If we prevail in this paper, this court action that we're doing, if we prevail, it's game over for them that day. That very day is the day that New York will regain her freedom, and thereby the rest of the nation, because it's going to explode across the country. Because if we come in here and we prevail, they're done. And I mean, whether they realize it or not, they're done. But this is the case that will go down in history. I mean, we may be back in court a couple more times doing a couple more things, but when they go back in history and they quote, this is the day and this is the case that will make the history books, anything else we do is not as important as what we have just opened the curtain on here. This is it. This is the play. This is it. This is the
and
one.
And it's bigger than even what we're saying, because there are things we're not talking about that are so huge and just immense. And anybody who understands the UCC stuff and the common law, maybe especially listen to a little bit of what Miller had to say, Carl Miller, you'll understand what we're doing. This is that. This is big. So it's more than just getting the process going. It also is making all the corrections for the people of New York. And again, every state has the opportunity to do the very same thing. And if they get into power without having to go through this quo warranto, that's fine, because the same authority and the same power and the same things that we're doing, you'll be able to do right from the courthouse collectively as a unified grand jury within your state. And we will assist you in every way necessary to be able to achieve those things, even without going through this necessarily, this quo warranto. So this is huge, huge, huge. We also, it's very important that we know the number of people. I want to say that over and over again. We got to know who's coming. We got to know how many people. And when we get an idea of the numbers of people coming, you know, in the email when you send to us, standing up at nationallibertyalliance.org, let us know if you're going to sit down and have a, I don't know whether we'd call it a late breakfast or an early lunch, but if we can get an idea of how many people are going to come, we'll try to find a location that will be able to receive the number of people that we're anticipating to come. So anybody who wants to eat with us, sit down and have a lunch and spend some time chatting, just let us know in that email, yeah, four of us are coming or two of us are coming, and, yeah, we're going to eat. You know, we'll be there for lunch, too. Go ahead, Gerard. Anything else?
No. I just trying to impress upon people, you know, how important this is. And, you know, this is the airstrike that's going to soften it up for the ground troops, because when we do this, it's going to make life so much easier for everybody else, because once these officials see what happened in New York, they will not give the people trouble in their state. They'll be packing their bags before they get there. And so this is the one that's going to, you know, convince everybody that the people are here. And they got a right. They got an uppercut that's just a knockout punch, and they won't want to mess with it. And they'll just acquiesce, I believe, as long as we do a good showing and we have enough people, and by the grace of God, we have some from Oath Takers stand up and decide to uphold their oath of office and help the people. It's done. You see, the only way we're going to end up back in court is if those oath takers that are there don't do their job, that they don't understand, and they don't step up to the plate and do what they're supposed to do, so that we have to go looking for some other ones. And there are other ones that we can get. But right now, you know, the ones that are here, that are in that position, we're gonna push them and cajole them and poke them, and try to get them to do what they're supposed to do. And I really believe that there are a few good men out there, and that's all we need. And whoever they are, you know, the ones that do stand up and do the right thing, it's really, really important that they have the support of the people. Because this is evil, and this is like the devil incarnate here we're fighting. And he's not going to be very kind to those people that facilitated his downfall, because all that's left for him to do is revenge, because he's lost the war. You know what I mean? He's done. It's just a matter of time. So people have to understand, and they have to stand shoulder to shoulder, and they have to support those people, those oath takers that do the right thing. And I'm really expecting enough of them to come to the plate and do the right thing, that we're going to prevail. And that's the way that this day will be the day that goes down in infamy. Okay, I yield the floor there, John.
Okay, let's take questions. We'll take the first question. And anybody that wants to get into the queue, *6, and then it'll tell you *1. So *6 and *1, you'll get into the queue. And we're going to go at least. We're going to try to remain within the 3 hours that we've been doing, because at 3 hours it starts to really get too much. Anything beyond that, so we'll probably shut down somewhere about 5 after 12, 10 after 12, because we did start a few minutes late. But let's take the first question. Wireless caller 760, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Okay, John. This is Joe, California. And
how you doing?
Good, John. That's very exciting. But my question has to do with what I call an epiphany that I had while you were talking. My question is, do you realize a lie exists in our time whereby people are inspired to become criminals themselves, as they are told or they are ordered that they alone command the sovereign power to punish? That's it.
I'm not sure. I know you were reading that from somewhere. I'm not sure I understood that. Am I aware that evil people believe that they are the sovereign? Is that what you're saying?
No. This has to do with what you're speaking about, and it has to do with when meeting people who have this infection, this lie, that they think that they can sue anybody, they can go around and they can command this lawful power to go ahead and punish people on their own authority.
Oh, okay, yeah. Justice is the key to this whole thing. Look at anybody who, I think I understand what you're saying. You're saying that someone could come in, usurp these authorities, and really do damage instead of good.
Yes, no such power exists. And that's actually crime defined by the criminal.
That also would be unjust. It wouldn't be just, and another king will come up against them. You know, there is a case out there where one grand jury actually indicted another grand jury, and you can see how that could happen, and that keeps them under tow. But you see, the thing is these problems come up when people come and declare themselves a grand jury, and then they take a seat. And they take an authority. They try to get into the courts, and not that they've been successful, but in any event, they're trying to take an authority, and they rule forever as a grand jury. No. Grand juries have to only rule for a short period of time. They get maybe a good long case or a few cases, and then they're off, and you get another group of people. It's always from a pool, and that's why we are setting it up with the four individuals for every county as administrators to administrate. To administer to the juries, to give them an orientation, to prepare them for what they're about to do, which is to judge another human being, and we have to give them the principles, and we ourselves have to have the principles. Now it is true that they've got a lot of authority, in the sense that they will be looking at things going on, and they will be the investigative body of the grand jury. And they have the opportunity to answer the phone calls that come in and investigate the different things, the accusations that are made, or discover things on their own. And the key thing that their job is not to go out and cause havoc, and not to go out and do anything that really becomes a wrongdoing themselves, but really find the problems and write a prescription that they should obey. And, of course, if that prescription is unjust and the people receiving that prescription say, hey, that's unjust, we're not going to do that, well, then they may bring them before the grand jury to get them to agree. But if the grand jury hears both sides, they may agree, hey, that's unjust, and they'll write the prescription. But the thing is there's a checkmate there. Also, you got 25 people, and I think that's really the wisdom or the beauty of this whole thing. You know, when you look at a grand jury, you got 25 people, okay? You got to get to a lot of minds to agree here. You got to get a popular vote out of that 25. And when you have an obnoxious individual amongst you, a person who is a rogue, a person who refuses to be honorable or refuses to consider mercy or refuses to be just, or maybe they're prejudiced or something, well, you know what? The 24 can say, hey, you're out of here, buddy. If you can't conform and obey and serve the oath that you took to the Creator, you know, the Creator or the Governor of the universe, then you can't sit with us. And the grand jury can continue with 24. And they can whittle all the way down to 12. And the same thing with the trial jury. You know, if they have the same problem, they can say, hey, you're out of here, buddy. You know, they have two spare wheels. There's actually 14 people chosen for a trial jury, but only 12 get to sit to make the judgment. But those other two are there in case one gets ill or something happens, or they have to get rid of one. So we'll do the best we can. We will have evil people who will penetrate us, but again, if we have the principles and we have the maxims, and I think we can survive, and we have a bent knee to the Creator, I think we will survive, and I think we will overcome. And it'll be up to every group in their county, you know, doing whatever it is that they're doing, those 25 or those 12. And they will always have the four administrators, which are constantly going back and schooling themselves, getting more and more knowledge and understanding. They always have those four people to give a call to if they have a situation or a problem. When they're not sure how to proceed, they can get right on the phone and call to the four administrators, who would come down immediately, I'm sure within minutes, if they're in session, it'd be close by anyway, and they'd come down to help them out with any solution to any problem that they might have, or a consideration of law, or whatever it is that they have to ask. But they certainly wouldn't be calling a judge, and they certainly would not be calling a prosecutor. They'd be calling one of the people, one of them, us. So hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, it sure does in spades. And I just want to say as a comment that the fruits of the labor of the people in New York are recorded in that quo warranto as the best I've seen so far. And the actions that are sprung from that ought to become our country's new light. I think that's really great stuff. Thanks a million.
All right, thanks for calling and talking, and let's go to the next caller. Okay, 717, that looks like it's a wireless corner, looks like Pennsylvania.
Hi, John, this is Jesse.
Oh, how you doing, Jesse? Good to hear from you.
Good. I got a question. You know, in Pennsylvania, we have like five counties that have gotten their paperwork accepted into the courthouse, and I've been talking with Tom from Westmoreland County, who had their paperwork in, you know, the first county in Pennsylvania. And, you know, there's difference of opinions on how to proceed to actually gain access into the grand jury room. And, you know, just wanted to touch base and hearing what you already said, you know, with the Cory Wanta, because you haven't had the paperwork accepted in the courthouse yet, so that's the battle where you are, and it sounds like with listening that, you know, you're going right directly to, you know, the courthouse, asking them to have access.
No, we're not asking them to have access.
No,
we're
telling them.
Right. When we went to do our paperwork, the clerks looked at it and said, this is quite odd. I've never seen anything like this. So I said, well, that's the process we're putting in. It's a quo warranto. And if you never heard of it, I'm sure you heard of a show cause. It's treated the same way as a show cause. It's the same thing. I really think that they wanted to try to resist it, but we had our $310, which we intend on getting back on April 7th. And I'm not waiting until April 8th. We're going to get our $310. The judge is going to sign that paper. We're going to go right down to the clerk, and I'm going to say, give us our money back, because they never should have charged us for that in the first place. But we knew that we just wasn't going to make that argument. We just paid the bill and just did it, okay?
Right, right.
It just wasn't worth, you know, you have to pick your battles.
The paperwork from the reinstatement elections that were held in those counties are filed within the courthouse, and but everybody seems to be stymied with actually contacting the custodian or the clerk of court or county clerk, you know, gain access to the custodian, get the keys, so to speak, and because the actual paperwork was filed and accepted under miscellaneous documents in Pennsylvania.
But that's only in the county clerk, not in the court.
In the court clerk, yeah. And
right.
So we were trying to, you know, come up with a strategy.
Well, this is the strategy. This is the strategy, and if you need me to come talk, I'll explain it to everyone. But it's simple. I think you'll get it, and we've mentioned it before. Look, at first order of business we did is we filed a whole bunch of paperwork, and we send them a letter. We're going to come down and talk. The very first thing they did is this woman, Prudente, put a stop to it. So that kind of changed things for us in New York. It made us slow down a little bit because we started to regroup to see how we're going to go. But the bottom line is what we did is we did a tour of the state. Now, we couldn't go to all the counties, but we chose four or five. We actually went to five, I think, maybe six. But we chose a group of counties, and we plotted a route. And a group of us went to the first county building, you know, the first courthouse. Then we went to the second. We traveled along a route. And then we had some people who wouldn't travel with us necessarily but did meet us at the courthouses. So we had more people at this courthouse and more people at that courthouse. But what we did is we went from courthouse to courthouse, and we saw the rejection, okay? And so between the rejection, and they all say, well, Prudente said not to give it to you, you know, and then we did get a hold of that paper. So what they did is we then said, well, we stepped back and we looked at that, and they said, okay, they're not letting us in, and we know who's not letting us in. It's Prudente, and there were two other judges, plus there were some other judges that had prevented us or didn't do their job. So we decided, well, okay, let's do the indictment and let's move through the process. And we did what was that writ we did? A Gerard, what was that writ, the first writ we did? Begins with an M. I don't know why I can't think of it.
Mandamus.
We did the mandamus. They ignored that. We did a quo vanto, and they totally ignored that. And that led us to the realization we had to do the quo vanto in a place where they can't resist it, because resisting is default, and that's the court. And we realized as we put this together that we can do this in such way in the name of the king. We're going to take total control of that court. We go there, total control. That judge is not going to have anything much to say except for really, you know, to guide things along in what our will is. As a matter of fact, we're going to start brainstorming this this week, and we're also going to probably go have a visit with the judge to make sure he understands his role and how we expect the court case to go as far as the proceedings. You know, how the proceedings are going to go forward, what is going to be what would I call it? Well, just the process, step by step by step. So we'll see how that goes. I think tomorrow I'm going to call up to find out who won the lottery for our case. We need a name of a judge. That should be done in the first day or two. So we want to lock that down real quick before they send some fixer guy there, you know, some judge from Timbuktu to come in to try to fix it. But it should be that judge right there in that county.
The paperwork in New York for the reinstatement elections weren't accepted because of Prudente, and you know, then you had to, you know, go.
Well, someone had to step up. You see, when you go to the courthouse, you see, you should send a letter in or give a phone call and say, hey, we're coming down there to get access into the court. We want to be introduced to the custodian, and we're going to be down there at 9 o'clock or whatever the case may be. If they reject you, you say, well, we're coming down anyway. I want to talk to the person who's rejecting us. So you got to find out who's rejecting you. Whoever that person is rejecting, that's the person you're going to go after. In our case, it was it couldn't have happened better for us, because actually we're going after the entire state. It was the executive body of the administrative process, the administrators for the New York State Supreme Unified Supreme Court. It was the executive body. So it was the highest judges of authority. Whatever they say goes. Whatever the procedures and process, it goes. You know, that may be beyond the norm.
I think I got my answer by saying what you got to do is, once the paperwork's accepted, because we did get our paperwork accepted in multiple counties, now what you're saying is
go get the room.
Go there and say, hey, look, you know, we filed the paperwork. You know we're coming. And when you get there, either they're going to give you access or they're going to say you're denied.
Right, and you're not going to ask them for access.
Yeah.
When you go there, say, you introduce us to the custodian so we can get access to our where our office is going to be and where our meeting room is going to be.
Yeah, not asking. That was a slip of the tongue.
Right.
I understand. You know,
well, yeah, I understand.
You have to find out who's rejecting it, if they're going to. And so since these counties have already been filed, that's the next step, is just to say, okay, we're showing up, and, you know.
That's it.
You know, give us the keys.
Hey, tell them your papers are on file. What are those papers doing in there?
We didn't file them just for giggles. We filed them because we were going to come in there and start the common law grand jury.
So when they resist you, if they resist you, you find out by whose order. Obviously, mm-hmm. You, Clark, can't resist me. You can't tell me I can't come in. Who told you that I can't come in? Well, Judge Joe or Judge Smith told me this, and I got to listen. Okay, well, we want to go talk to Judge Smith. Where's Judge Smith? And you go over to his office, and you'll find he won't be available for you. And you say, well, okay, well, let us make an appointment. Well, he's real busy. He's not going to be able to see anybody for a week. Well, we'll do it next week. Well, we'll see what we could do. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you have Judge Smith call me on this phone at a certain time, and we'll have a bunch of people on the phone, you know, other grand jurists on the phone, and we'll talk with Judge Smith. And I would voice the opinion that they're being disrespectful to the people. Here we are, and you're being disrespectful, and actually it's contempt. And, you know, and the problem is we can file contempt against them, but we're not going to be able to execute it until some point in the future. So you can tell them you're going to file contempt against them. You know, you want to see the judge. The point is this: you make an appointment. They don't want to make an appointment, then you make a date. Okay, tomorrow at 1 p.m., but before the end of the day, he's got to call me, okay? get me on the phone, and we're going to discuss the matter over the phone, since he's only got, his time is so valuable, and he can't talk to me. And if he does not call me, or she does not call me by 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., the end of the business day, whatever it is for them, tomorrow, then we're going to assume he doesn't want to talk. And he's being silent. He has a duty to speak. He's not going to speak. That's guilt to me. That's fraud. Okay? So we will take that before the grand jury, and the grand jury probably will indict because you're refusing the grand jury access. So we'll take it to the grand jury, and they will indict it. Then you come back, and you file the... Now, you have at least four witnesses when you do this. See, this is the way we were going to go. We kind of veered away from this because we decided to go the Quanto instead of the other way. But those arrest factors are still there. You go in and you file the papers for a the true bill with the same clerk against that judge. And a week later, you call up and say, I haven't heard, and we'll help you with the paperwork. You just look at ours, because you're expecting the prosecutor to get back to you to get all the evidence and have conversation with you so they can start to prepare the case. And a week goes by and he doesn't call or she doesn't call. And you call up the clerk and say, what's going on? Matter of fact, forget about calling up the clerk. You go down to the clerk. You need at least four witnesses with you. All four of you go down, four or more. And you go down there and you start quizzing the clerk. Well, we file these papers. Where are they? I know when we did it, the clerk immediately said, oh, they're right here. Because they knew we did a file on demand. They understood that they couldn't take it out. When we looked at it, well, there's no stamp on it. It hasn't been filed. Well, then you haven't filed it. You're derelict of duty. File it now. And, of course, she wouldn't file it. So now you have just witnessed a law that has been broken. And that you'll find that law written in paperwork, file on demand. It gives the codes. Mm-hmm. So now you have something you could take to the sheriff. You do four affidavits as witnesses to a law that has been broken. You take that down to the sheriff, your affidavits, and you take the law. You say, here's the law, and it's a criminal act. 1 to 20 years, depending on which one it is, could be anywhere from 1 to 20 years in jail, so it's a criminal act. And now here are the affidavits with the witnesses who saw that act take place, and the sheriff now has to go to arrest. So once the sheriff makes the arrest, you go back down to the thing, you go back down to the office, you find out who took her place or his place, and you say, okay, now are you going to file that? It's unfiled. Are you going to stamp that file and get it through the process? Let's see if they want to be arrested. You see, that's what our plan was. But this went probably better for us, the way we went Prudente. It took us longer, but it was bigger. Okay?
Yeah.
And this has come to a place that, we wrote this paper. And this paper, I think, is so huge. This is going to solve such big problems as soon as it is obeyed. Okay, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to pull this off on the 7th, and we believe we will. I don't think they're going to be able to resist this. And again, a lot of it depends on how much we can flood that courtroom. We must flood the courtroom. Send me the email. Tell me you're standing up. Standing up at nationallibertyalliance.org. How many people are coming, and if you're going to eat lunch with us?
Well, so since we filed with a court clerk, that's who we call and say, hey, we're coming down to get the keys to the grand jury room. Show up there, ask for the custodian. If they deny us, then we can say, well, who's denying, and we'll go from there.
That's it. You got to bring it into the court arena, and by doing the presentment. You're going to have to present it to someone. Now, what may be helpful also to you in other places, especially close by, but anywhere, when New York accomplishes its goal, that is a leverage for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that should be a little bit of a fear because, they'll be able to read about that.
Yeah,
is this what they want to do here? We'll do it.
I know some counties have been trying to deal with the county commissioners, and after the paperwork's already filed and accepted in the courthouse, and they're dealing with the county commissioners, and just kind of getting their runaround, not really and I think now just talking with you, it makes sense. Why deal with that? Since the paperwork's filed, just go down to the clerk, tell them, hey, we're here. Where's the keys?
Mm-hmm, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, Florida's doing it a little different, okay? And so look to see what Florida's doing. And I spoke with Hagen just a couple of days ago. Huh?
With Hagen, okay.
Yeah, Hagen. I spoke with Hagen a couple of days ago, and we're kind of consulting each other on some ideas and thoughts, and they're doing some good. They're doing a little different. They're going a different direction, but I think they're going to take, also do a lot of the legal stuff that we're doing, and they're combining it with some of the things that they're thinking and knowing, and so there's more than one way to get into this, but there's got to be a procedure and a target, and you got to keep yourself on focus. You're not here to chase other things. You're just here to get access into the court. Just that's what your focus is. Everything
right.
else is irrelevant mm-hmm. at this point, okay? You'll deal with all the problems at the next stage.
Okay, well, thank you. That was everything that I had, and I will pass that along to those counties that are already filed in Pennsylvania.
All right, and if you guys need us, give me a call. We'll do a little conference on the phone. But I think you guys got it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next caller, let's see. It is Reverend J.W. Brown.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm thankful. Yeah, this is my first call. So did I understand you correctly that if you have if the judge or whatever summoned you to court, or you've been summoned to court or something of that nature, and did I understand that you said that you questioned the judge about the summons? And ask him to respond to you in writing or by phone, he's supposed to do so?
Oh, yeah. In the case what we're doing, we're building grand juries, and when the grand jury wants to talk with him, he better talk with us. And now we, the administrators for the grand jury, are the investigative body of the grand jury, so therefore we represent the grand jury. Also, we, as the administrators of the grand jury in the beginning of the process, are grand jurors because collectively around the state we have already had grand jury meetings, and that's the administrators for the statewide focus. And not that we're going to be sitting forever, we're just sitting just to get into the process. The thing is when the grand jury calls up a judge, and this should be true with people too, but because we're all the people, the kings, but especially when the grand jury calls up that judge and says, we want to talk with you, and he ignores us, and they all ignore us. They don't want to talk with us because they're afraid to say anything. They don't know what to say. They're afraid what we're going to ask them, and they should be, but they should answer us, and they refuse. That's fraud, and we're not going to go after them for fraud. And in the case of preventing the paperwork from going forward, that's conspiracy. It's a violation of our unalienable rights, and that is high treason. And so we will indict that person too.
So now, if a person, what do you charge for those kinds of services? Was if a person wanted to get some kind of assistance?
That's for free. Maybe you don't know what we're doing. We're building grand juries in every county. There's 3,141 counties here in the United States. And we are building grand juries across the nation. We hope to be finished with that maybe in the next 4 months or so. It seems to be moving very quickly now. People are finally moving in every state pretty much. And New York is completely has grand juries and, grand jury, the process set up in every county. Florida has it in every county. Connecticut has it in every county. Rhode Island has it in every county. New Hampshire next week will have it in their counties. New Jersey next week, I believe, will have it in all their counties. And there are other states moving right behind us, so it's moving very quickly through the nation. And so once we're set up and we save the republic, because that's the first order of business, once we're set up, we'll set up a directory. So people will be able to go online and look up their state and then look up their county, and they'll get a phone number. And when they call that phone number during normal business hours, they will get someone that is an administrator for the grand jury to answer their call. And when they have a problem, they explain the problem to that person, and that person will assist them to fix the problem that they've got. If it's a problem with a bureaucrat, we will fix it. If it's a problem with a judge and he's misbehaving or he's not going according to the common law, we will fix it. And we will force them to do the right thing, or we'll put them under the threat of indictment. And if we bring it before the grand jury and they indict, then we remove them from office, and you'll get another judge there.
Now, you gave a number at the beginning of the call. I didn't catch all. You got 845. What was the rest of that number?
If you have questions like you have, this is the place to bring them. But if it's very specific, and we're not ready to go out to deal with these kind of problems yet until we get into authority. We're in the middle of the beginning of the battle trying to get authority. And I'm in New York, and I'm in Dutchess County, so, you know, I would be dealing with the problems here in New York, anywhere in New York, but particularly Dutchess County. And you would want to find someone, if you're looking for a specific problem within your county, once the directory's up. But if there is a very important thing that you need to talk to me about, you can get me at 845-233-6560. Now, very, very soon, I think within the next week, I am going to limit myself to certain days on the phone so that I can put a lot more of my time with others in order to create more of lesson videos. Because I'm realizing we need, there's a lot of things we're doing, and that we can create these videos and do PowerPoints, let's say. And PowerPoint has the ability to create a video, and as you can see on our front page, we did that. So we can create video instructional PowerPoint videos, maybe 45 minutes to an hour long, on the different subjects and different things that we're doing, so that people can go into a list and click on a particular subject matter they need to learn about, or whatever the process they're coming up to, or whatever it is, and watch a PowerPoint video, which they can pause and speed up and rewind and all that other stuff, and be able to then learn the process. So we have to start doing that. So we're going to kind of create a new course for the purpose of, let's call it, the nuts and bolts of the administrative process for the common law grand jury, something like that.
What state are you in? Yeah, Texas.
Texas. Okay, you should get onto the website, nationallibertyalliance.org. I'm sure you know. And you go to contacts, highlight contacts, look for state, find a state leader out there. If there's no state leader, and find your county. Also look for county leaders. Find people in your county. Hook up with them. Get people in counties close by you. Work with them. Become part of the process. Learn. Maybe you become an administrator, or get people, other people coming in to become administrators. And get to know the state coordinator. I don't think Texas has a state coordinator yet. We need a state coordinator in Texas, I think, anyway. So contact people in your state, work with them. If you need our assistance, I'm in New York. If you need my assistance, we'll assist anyone.
Now, what's your name again, please?
John Durash.
How do you spell your last name?
D-A-R-A-S-H.
Well, you're doing a great job, John. This is my first time calling, and someone gave me the information, so I thought I'd check it out to see, you know, what you are.
Well, there's
doing.
A lot of us. This isn't just one person up. We got people working all over the nation, and there's a lot of people that will work with you in your state, in the states next door to you, and even all the way out here in New York. We'll work with you, too.
I do appreciate your hard work, and I can see this is something that I need to look into a little bit further. And
let me suggest this. I don't know if you've read our front page yet or watched the video on the front page, but that's the first order of business. Also, on our website, on the Monday night call where you got the phone number from, probably below the text chat, we have our past calls. And I would, if I were you, I'd go back to the latest call last week. Listen to that and go back a few weeks and listen to the calls and see. You'll learn a lot from those calls.
Okay. I'll do that, but I do have a specific question that I don't want to ask on the air because...
Then you can give me a call when you know. I'm going to, you know, you'll get me during the day, but within the next week I'm going to maybe do something like only answer phones on Mondays and Fridays, I think. And that'll
okay.
give me the ability then during the week to get a lot more work done in the way of training videos, because I got to do training videos. Also, we got to start touring New York State. As soon as we get into authority, you know, I'm going to be very busy throughout all of New York State, and I'm going to be running around to a lot of counties with a few other people, assisting people in order to get control of the courts in their own counties.
So if
we'll be training people in New York.
Person wants to be on the grand, be a part of the grand jury, or be
an administrator.
Administrator, that's like a judge. Is that right? The administrator, he's called
Administrator is the investigative body of the grand jury. It is the people.
Okay.
It's a paid position, and there's four per county, and you work together to serve the people and make sure that justice prevails in court and in the political realms. And that's our job, to fix and repair any wrongdoing anywhere in the political and judicial realm, to answer the call to anybody who calls up with any complaints concerning those situations. That's our job.
So you say it's a paid position. So who pays that administrator?
Well, the state has a budget for the administration for the grand jury and the trial jury, which goes right now to the courts and in some states even to the prosecutor's office. Like here in New York, the prosecutor's office handles the impaneling of the grand jury, and the judge, the court system, handles the impaneling of the trial jury. So there's two checks, so to speak, one going to the prosecutor's office for funding and one going to the court itself. Well, we're going to intercept that money and bring it on to the people, and we'll give an accountability directly by and for the people, and we will write our own checks and, you know, get our own budget, and we'll do it a lot cheaper than they did do it, and we'll be much more efficient, and we'll bring justice back into the courts, because right now it's not there.
Man, all I can say, you're doing a great job, and I heard what you were saying about you on the in April, I think, which is the 10th or something like that, you're going to...
The 7th of April is when the judicial the doors of New York are going to be blown off, and we're going to turn the court literally right side up again.
I appreciate you answering my question, but let me get back in touch with you, because I do have a personal question. I don't want to just get into it.
Yeah, give me a call. You can try me tomorrow. You can try me during the day. If you don't get me tomorrow, try me a couple hours later, or try me the next day. You'll get me. But eventually I'm going to set up a certain day that I answer phones, and other days I won't, unless I pre-set it up for a conference or something like that.
All
Only
right.
So we can get more work done here, because we got a lot of work and to do, so that we want to create these videos, which will be training videos for the people.
That's great. I thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Reverend. Talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Hey, bye-bye.
Hey, John, I want to just say something real quick.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody that's left on the call, as we get closer to April 7th, I mean even starting tonight, everybody should concentrate on praying, on meditating, because as this day gets closer, I think it's very important. And even people that can't be there, especially when they know that hour we're in court, we want your meditations, we want your prayers, we want your cries to the Almighty, because that's one of the things that's going to help us. You know, this is a collective thing. This, you know, there is that collective consciousness of prayer, you know, and the more it goes up there, the more our Creator will hear it, the more it will manifest. And so it's very, very important for people, for everybody to initiate that, because I think that is going to be one of the ways that we prevail. So I just wanted to say that and make that request for everybody who feels so inclined, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Good idea. We do need prayers. Without prayers, we can't succeed, and we always do rest in the Lord to bring us through this. So, okay, Terry, 602, go right ahead.
John, thanks for taking the call. And
fine.
Let me double what you were just saying about everybody, because, you know, what happens in New York is really happening for all of us. So we all need to participate as much as we can. I want to ask a simple, stupid question. I'm out here in Arizona. I have absolutely no idea where Claverack, New York is. So I took the address that you have on the in the Cuauhtro, and I asked Google to show me where it is, and it's in the middle of the woods someplace.
Right, it's in Hudson. It's up in, and look at, this is an interesting way that we got this county. It's a good county for us because it is in the woods. It's far away from the city, so even though crime is everywhere, I can tell you from going down into Brooklyn and to other places, I know a couple cases going in Brooklyn that I'm involved with, and you want to talk criminal activity right in the courtroom, wow. I mean, it's even more right in your face than up here. It's in your face up here, too, but it's a little more hidden. So being in the woods, choosing this place was one of the things. Also, we had a good taste with the judge in a case 5 years ago or 4 years ago that we took into that county, Columbia County. And the judge was really on the ball. He seemed to really be interested in finding the answer to the problem that we brought into him. And he, because he knew there was a problem there, and he wanted to fix it, it seemed. So we thought we had a good guy. Now, I don't think that judge is there anymore, but we thought that he might have been. We really don't know. There is a newly elected judge there, I believe, but that doesn't mean the other guy's not there.
Well, that was the real reason I'd asked the question, though, because, I was hoping that there was some thought behind selecting that specific place to kick it off.
We also heard that the sheriff was kind of constitutional. That doesn't mean very much, though. Being constitutional, claiming to be constitutional and being constitutional are two different things.
Yeah.
Well, and so we're going to test that out. We did speak with his undersheriff today, who was attentive, gave us a lot of time, and I think we impressed him, and I think he saw the problem. And we talked about RICO, and we told him, this is very serious stuff. We're talking RICO here. This is a problem throughout this whole state. And, these guys, they know the statutes, but they have no clue what the law is. And we're trying to train them.
We always tell the sheriffs we're trying to re-empower them, because over here in New York, they're using the state police to take their powers away. They're handing the pistol permits over to the state police because they know the state police will hand them to the governor when it comes time to confiscate. So the sheriffs, the Second Amendment thing really has the sheriffs animated. Thank God for it in New York State. I mean, it's a horrible thing, but guess what? It's certainly woken the people up, and I think it also cracked the door open to the sheriffs for us, because they see what the governor and what the state is doing to their authority, and so it makes us much easier for us to talk to them. So it's been a blessing in disguise. It really has been.
Okay. So the five quote defendants. The Supreme Court guys, are they in Albany?
No, they're in New York City.
Okay.
There is eight high judges, so to speak. There are eight judges in the administrative, executive part of the Supreme Court here. And these guys are all located down in New York City. It was the three of those eight were the ones that came out, particularly Prudente is one of those eight. And her boss, which is, she was second in command, is one above her, and there was another judge out there. So three of those judges came out and kind of participated in this conspiracy across the state through letter writing, telling the clerks not to accept our paperwork. And that's huge, because we got the smoking gun and everything. She's done. And the other two judges along with her. Now, the other five judges, the other five are left. They're guilty because they remain silent. And that those are the five judges we're pulling in. We're giving them the opportunity, and we'll give them a reprieve. We will let them go as long as they just step up and do the right thing before that court date. Otherwise, we're going to force them to do the right thing. And then if necessary, we'll do whatever has to be done. But they're guilty. If anything, they're guilty of felony rescue. But the fact that they're silent, they're also conspirators too now. So they've got a lot against. This is high treason. High treason is a very serious matter, as I know everybody here knows, and the penalty could be almost anything here.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the trial jury would do. You know, if we're going into havoc at the time, we're dealing with those people, you know, because they've destroyed the nation, they've destroyed the republic, our economy, everything. You know, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's why I'm in Arizona. I don't think I'm going to get there, but I do want to encourage everybody that possibly can, because, you know, one of the things that they could do, I suppose, would be just to send the state police over there and pick up everybody in the parking lot.
Well, they'd have to have charges. They've been silent because they have nothing to say. And believe me, if they had something to say, lawyers would be writing this on paper and sending it to us. They only did that once, and they saw how dumb they look because they had absolutely nothing. We have the law right behind us. We have also the feds behind us also. We've been investigated by the FBI 3 different times, once down in Long Island, once in the Bronx, and once in Orange County, 3 different places in New York. And in all cases, they walked away.
Well, I would hope that there will be federal representatives there on the...
We're considering that.
Because, you know, the problem we have now is that the people we're going after don't pay any attention to the law.
We are considering of calling up the marshal to invite him down because of RICO, that he may need to come down and sit in this case and see what's going on. We're certainly trying to get sheriffs to come down, and we'd like to get a number of them sit in the audience with us. And when we start handing out the arrest warrants right to the bench to get signatures, we'll start handing them out to the sheriff. Who wants to go down to the city? Who wants to go here? Who wants to go there? Let's get them going.
Okay, well, again, I can't speak for everybody in Arizona, obviously, but I'm praying, and we're all 100% behind you, and we want to be next. Charlie McCain is our...
Yep, I know Charlie.
He's our state organizer for getting all of our counties reconstituted. We will be done by the end of this week. We'll have 100% of Arizona done. I say that. Charlie's probably listening. I probably need to call the paramedics for him.
He's chewing his fingernails now, right?
That's right. All right. I yield to the next questioner.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Okay, let's take the next caller. 304, wireless caller. You got the mic.
Hey, hello. How you doing, John? Anthony.
Good.
Here in West Virginia.
How you doing, Anthony? I think I saw some email come across my desk from you.
Oh, okay. Must have been a forward. Did I send it directly?
I don't remember, but I just remember your name, and I remember seeing an email, and I don't remember what it was, to be honest.
I speak to you about the FCC, and I'm working on that. We have a fellow in our Tea Party here that he's very good at putting in FOIAs, what he calls it, Freedom of Information Acts. So we're going to be doing some investigation on that as soon as I know what to ask for. We're going to be constituting a really, this is an important time for me right now, because tomorrow night we're planning on constituting 6 counties here in West Virginia, the 6 counties surrounding Mercer County. And I have a couple of questions because I'm just not sure. If a majority doesn't vote to constitute, because I know this happened in the Big Timber, Montana, and Sweetwater County, Montana. My friend Kevin McCauley's there. And they had an election. We're calling it an election, but we don't really elect. I mean, it's not the election.
Right. What we're doing is we're just voting and acknowledging the fact that we want to reinstate the common law grand jury here in this county. And then at that point, we're putting together, looking for 4 administrators eventually to rise up out of the people and to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, in their county and start the process of educating the people as they come in to be jurists and make sure that the law is being obeyed in both the judicial and the political realms. And that's what it's all about, to be done in every county. Every county has a Supreme Court or common law court or whatever they call it. It's always a common law court. So, and that's why we do it in every county. But here's the thing. What we're doing is really called the honorable thing. We're taking this to the people. The election isn't necessary. You know, the coming together isn't necessary, but it is an important part of what we're doing, because we're notifying the people in the newspaper. We're calling our friends and liberty-minded people, as many as we can get, to come to this presentation in order to see for the, you know, the showing of hands of all the people that are interested in participating with this. And also, we're asking them to become jurors, to sign up, you know, so we're giving them an invitation. And now here's the key thing. The right of the grand jury is found in the Fifth Amendment. Therefore, it's an unalienable right, or
there
an inalienable right.
There you
and,
go.
And so you can have 100 people come, 99 say no, and one say, I want to do it. Well, the 99 could go home, but the one and the people who put it together, let's go do it, because it's an unalienable right. These people can exercise the decision, the choice of exercising their right or not. Some people prefer carrying a weapon, and some people make the decision not to carry a weapon. Well, it's a right, because they're not carrying a weapon. It has nothing to do with me. If I want to carry a weapon, and if 100 people come together and 99 say, I don't want to carry a weapon, and one person says, I want to, well, guess what? You get to carry your weapon, because we don't have a democracy. We have a republic. Now, so it's the same thing here. But we have found it's just an honorable thing to do. It's sort of a thing of coming together and declaring the reinstatement of the common law grand jury, and the will, at least of some of the people, to do it. We have government not by majority, but by the majority that participates. And generally speaking, it's been unanimous most of the time. We do get sometimes the enemy will come amongst us, and they'll come in numbers, and I guess that one incident happened. In New York, I think we've only seen it once where someone actually, really, they decided just not to vote, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so how do you handle it when you have everyone there and then you take a vote and say it's 13-7, and
right.
Then you say, okay, well, you know, these seven people, they want to do this thing, and we're going to just go ahead and do it, and we thank you all for coming. Is that what
that's
you said
it.
Here, something
that's
like that?
That's it. You got it. You got it.
Okay. Listen, think
but you
of
get
it,
the seven people. Go ahead, Gerard.
Think of it the that's opposite
all.
Way.
So all I needed to know. The other thing is I got.
Well, hold on.
More.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Hello. Hold on a minute. Let Gerard speak. Okay. He wanted to make
hold
the pipe.
Listen,
go ahead, Gerard.
Just think of it the opposite way. If people got together and they decided to vote so that there could be no common law grand jury, would that be valid? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, could they take that right away from us? No more than the legislator could make laws to say that the common law has been abrogated or the grand jury has been taken away. So just like you can't take it away, I mean, we're doing the vote as an honorable thing, saying, you know, we polled the people in the county and we got people together that want to reinstate this process, which should have never left in the first place. You know what I mean? So it's not that it's a majority vote. It's just that we're announcing it. We're doing the honorable thing, and we're using all those methods that are accepted. You know, we're filing paperwork. We're putting it in the newspapers. We use the newspapers that the town uses to make announcements. So when we go back through, at least we can show that we did a public thing in the opening, unlike most of the things they do to us in the dark. We operated in the light. And we did the honorable thing, and it comes out of the people, and it can come out of 10 people or 2 people. It doesn't matter. We, like John says, we're a republic. We're not a democracy. We're a nation of laws. So if any group of people can get together and start a common law grand jury, any of them, if they come in common and they decide that they want to start a grand jury and investigate such and such, it rises out of the people, and that's what we're doing.
Praise the Lord. Well, I feel that's my sense of it was exactly what we're talking about, but I needed to get the words into my mouth somehow, because just in case something like that would come up tomorrow. And that's what I told Kevin. I said, we're a republic. It doesn't matter if those, you know, those 13 people voted against you. They can't vote to take your rights away from you.
That's right. Let me make an important thing, and we've learned this early on. and other people had certain problems throughout the rest of, you know, other states. So we've come to realize once the videos, you're going to play three videos. Basically, it's a very simple thing. You go up there, you say, hey, we're here together. We're going to look at the grand jury, and at the end, we're going to take a raising, you know, showing of the hands and what the people's desire is to go forward here. And so, you know, the first video explains the fiction. The second video talks about liberty, and the third video talks about the grand jury. They're about 9 minutes apiece, so it's less than 30 minutes. And you let them know, they're less than 30 minutes of videos, after which we'll take a vote by the showing of the hands, and then after that we'll take questions. So you put the videos on. Now, the moment the videos are done, you get up there and you immediately go, okay, everybody here in favor of reinstating the common law grand jury here in the county of, and then raise your hand. And you'll find it's usually unanimous. It could be just overwhelming majority, could be majority, or it could be some. Well, however, I've never seen some, but that could be a case, the one. So, but the point is this, you might get someone, and this we've learned, they say, whoa, 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 before we take the vote, let's talk about this. And we make the error of being nice people and letting them talk, and the next thing you know, you go into a debate. We had this problem in one thing, so we did have this problem twice, as a matter of fact. Did they dissent from voting, Gerard? Do you remember? Were you with us on that one? But in any event,
what was that?
Were you there when we had the argument when the guy wanted to go through the process of just talking?
Yeah. Yes,
people started leaving.
Yeah.
But did they just dissent from voting, or did they vote negative?
No, I think they dissent.
I think it was just one or two, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we made the mistake of allowing them to speak, and they just wasted our time. And we decided from that point forward, if someone says something like that, the answer is no. People have seen the videos. They've seen what we showed them. We're going to take a vote, after which we could talk. We could talk. So everybody in favor, you just go override. If everybody in favor, you know, this, any against, and you might see that one hand go up of a guy that's trying to resist. And then you can give him a little bit of time, but you don't want to take too much time. Let's look at people who overwhelmingly want it. Let's move to questions and answers to people who are interested. However you want to handle it at that point, you can talk. But the vote is taken, the papers are being signed, the affidavits are being sworn to, and you're getting all the paperwork done.
Now, I noticed one paper that needs to be signed. It has the...
Gerard, are you chewing something?
What's that?
Gerard, are you chewing something? Sounds like a mouse.
No, it's somebody else.
Yeah, no, it's Gerard, I think.
Okay.
He muted his mic. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, I'm too serious today. I'm worked up tomorrow. I got two big deals happening tomorrow, and this is one of them. And there's a place, I think it's on one of the affidavits or something, or it's the paper that we file with the clerk that needs to be notarized. And there's two yellow lines on there with some numbers that represent the certified mail numbers. Are we supposed to expect the notary to go ahead and notarize that paper without those numbers being there, and then we fill the numbers in later?
Well, no, the only thing that's going to be notarized is three affidavits. The front page is signed by everyone, which is the declaration. The front page, it's a five-page, four pages of authorities, and one page that's on the top that's a declaration. And then on top of that is a file-on-demand paper, and that's probably where you're seeing those two lines there for the numbers. Now, that yellowed in numbers, you know, that's just saying put your own numbers in there. You got to get rid of that yellow highlight, and you got to put your own numbers. That you could do later. No signature goes on that paper. You have to go down to the post office. You have to get the card. There's a certified paper you have to get that has the numbers on it, and you get a card that's a return receipt, and then you put those numbers inside.
I'm very familiar with that process.
Okay.
All right, then.
Just make sure, go through the paperwork very carefully and make sure that you've changed everything. You made it the proper state, the proper county, and any other information that is local.
Okay, I had a very kind lady come by and do all the paperwork today, and I'm going to double-check everything tomorrow and print them out, and we'll be ready to go.
All right, great.
Hey, thanks. Nice talking to you, John. You got all my questions answered. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
and,
for calling.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. If I can find my mouse here, there it is. Okay. Next caller is TLIC, 401 area code.
Hey, John, Steve from Rhode Island. How are you?
How you doing, Steve?
All right. You've been working your whatever off.
Yep, I've been running. I see you've been trying to call me with a list of a whole bunch of other people. But, yeah, I haven't been around. I've been doing paperwork and running. We went up talking to the sheriff and going up to the court, filing the papers. So, yeah, I haven't been around.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, looks great. Looks great work and everything. I never got any package in the mail from you. I figured you were busy.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad you called because I forgot all about it. Okay, I'll take care of that tomorrow, and I'll get it out.
Okay, great. And also the website thing, Gerard, I still haven't been listed and have the access we discussed a couple weeks back.
What is this now?
About getting access as admin, whatever I am, you know.
All right, look, I'm going to be at my desk tomorrow. Can you give me a call in the morning? Maybe
yeah, sure.
10, 11?
And sure.
Let's make sure I get that done, and I'll make sure I get out tomorrow to get the paperwork and get in the mail.
Sounds good. We're still struggling. Nobody's stepping up yet. I think people are, whatever. We'll see.
Well, again, you know, you got to make phone calls and one at a time. You know, the key thing to get someone involved in what we're doing is to get them to drink the water. So just get them to the front page, you know, so give a few words. Don't get too involved and say, hey, look, you know, I found something really interesting. I got involved. You really got to take a look at this, and it has to do with the grand jury. Do me a favor. Go out and watch this video on the front page of nationallibertyalliance.org and read the front page, and I'll give you a call tomorrow, and let's talk about it because this is pretty fascinating. And, you know, if they don't make that phone call, you know, the next day, oh, I forgot, you know, we'll say, okay, look, I'll give you a call tomorrow. Get out there and see what you can do. This is really important, Joe, whatever it is. And again, you might get it a second time, but you probably won't get it a third time because usually the psychology, you know, is that usually people start to feel bad. They said they do it. They didn't do it. You know, so now they'll do it. And, you know, you get them to look at it, and there's a good chance, if they're an active individual, that they're going to jump into the game.
Sounds good.
So, anything else?
No, that's it. Just great job. You guys really worked here, really worked hard. It's very impressive, and, gosh, I'm going to try to make it. I'm looking at the map, take the ride for you.
Yeah, if you could, it would be appreciated.
Yeah, I'm
really,
kind of hungry
really.
There, John. I want to go have that great lunch. Where are we
yeah,
going?
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, we'll find a nice Italian restaurant, you know?
All right, sounds good. Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right, hopefully we'll get a place big enough. Hopefully it'll be too many people and we won't be able to eat in a restaurant. We'll have to eat outside somewhere.
That'd be wonderful.
I don't know, something. All right, next caller. Let's see. We're looking for... it looks like Marcus, 718, you got the mic. 718, I think that's Long Island or something, isn't it?
No, it's Queens, but I'm actually living in Florida, but I did live in New York. I do have a lot of connections in New York.
What's that, New York City, 718 number?
Yeah, Queens. So.
Queens, okay, yeah. Well, Queens is close to Long Island.
So I'm actually living in South Florida for the last 18 years, but I refuse to give up my New York number.
There
but
you go.
At any rate, I absolutely want to just congratulate you on the great work. This is historical. This is huge. And that I think everybody should try to reach out to different groups. I'm definitely going to be posting this to different journalists, like with the Huffington Post, a few other places that have been activists. I will try to let the Occupy people know. I don't know if you can, if you get enough people emailing you, can you arrange some kind of collective busing to get to the courthouse from the city?
Yeah, that I can't. The logistics, I just don't have the time to get involved with, and so people will have to take that up if they want to work out those kind of logistics. They can. I just, you know, I can't get involved with it. I'm too busy.
Okay.
So.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yep.
Also,
yeah, if someone wants to pick up that idea down in Queens or New York City,
yeah, you get
50 City,
then people
great.
Together. You can charter a bus. 50 people. It's worth it.
Right.
Exactly. Definitely reach out to the NRA. They've got chapters everywhere. definitely reach out to the Earth Keepers. I'm going to be messaging Ron Paul's groups, the NRA online, the Oath Keepers online, quite a few people to let them know about the April 7th. There's also a lot of conscious groups that are in Pennsylvania or around the area, so I will be contacting them that if they can get people out there so that, you know, everybody should be doing what I'm doing, but that way you have 200 to 400 people show up for this.
Yeah, we need the numbers. We need the numbers. So everybody, you know, everybody in New York that belongs to Liberty Groups, I get calls all the time from Liberty Groups I'm associated with. They're telling me about some things coming up in April 1st or 2nd. I think it's April 2nd and something else. And so now it's time to call those groups up and say, hey, we need your help now. We need you to go get your people together to come up. So people in New York, let's do it. Let's get the Oath Keepers up there. Let's get the Agenda 21 people up there. Call up your local, you know, if you belong to a local Liberty group, you know, 912 or some Tea Party, whatever it is, you know, get those people involved. Try to get a half a dozen or a dozen of those people to come. It's that important.
Absolutely. Another point that I wanted to bring up, because I know with making different declarations within the circuit, I don't know if this necessarily applies to what you're doing, but I'm sure certain declarations, it matters just to get into the circuit. So I'm just pointing out that there are other states that you can make miscellaneous recordings so that it's within the circuit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the declarations we do just for a memorial. We do it to the county. It's a memorial. Few people will really see it there, but it's there then. It becomes part of history, too. And, of course, the most important declaration that we're doing is which for a memorial is for the court clerk, because that's really the notification of the fact that we exist, and also a cover letter which says, hey, we're going to give you a call in 7 to 10 days, make an appointment to come down to see the custodian so that we can get access into the court. And then 7, 10 days later, you give them a call back or down, and you say, hey, how you doing? My name is Mary or Joe with the Common Law Grand Jury, and we just want to get down there to meet up with the custodian to get access into the court. Well, you know, we can't give you that. Well, why can't you give us that? Well, you know, what? Do you want me to come down there to talk to you about it? Or, you know, you want to tell me on the phone? Or what do you want to do? You know, the thing is you want to get out of their mouth who's telling them they can't. And then you make an appointment with that person. And if they refuse to talk to you, they refuse to meet with you, and then you have to let them know, look, you got 24 hours. You got till tomorrow at 5 to get back to me and let's talk. Otherwise, you have a duty to talk, and your silence is fraud. And then you leave it at that. Now you've got a situation where you can start to do something legally now. You got people who didn't file the papers, who kept it out. That's a crime. You have a judge who told them to not put it in. That's a crime. That's a conspiracy. So you got two people working together. It's 20 years for the judge, and it's somewhere between 1 and 3 years for the clerk. So you see, it's much harder on the judge. And then you go through the process again. You got the statutory stuff. You could take down to the sheriff with the sworn affidavit, so you can get an arrest. And you could do before you do that, you want to first do the indictment and file the indictment.
Yep.
Awesome. But again, you got to get together with the rest of the people. You know, on that case, you know, everything we're doing in New York is being done with all of the people that are involved throughout the state. It's one big unified grand jury from every county. So whatever we do, you know, we use the unified grand jury seal now.
Awesome.
Anything else? Okay.
No, that's it. Thank
Thanks
you.
For calling, Sarah. All right. Okay, next caller is Kathy. 979, Kathery.
John?
Yes.
This is Catherine in Texas.
Oh, how you doing, Catherine?
We have a state coordinator. Her name's
okay.
Ann, and she's talked to you. Do you remember?
Hang on a minute. You're coming in awfully low. Let me raise my speaker up. I don't know why you're so low. Try it again. You have a state coordinator?
Hold on a minute. I'll go to the other phone. Let me try. Hold on. Is that better? Is that better?
Well, it's just still low. Yeah, if you can get closer to the phone. Are you on speaker?
Is that better?
Well, we can live with it. Go ahead.
Hold on. How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little better, not much, but we can live with it. I raised my volume.
State coordinator. Her name
okay.
is Joanne.
All right.
You said we didn't have a Texas coordinator. We
didn't. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay, great,
it's
great.
There. She's been there. She's talked to you.
Okay, well, you know, there's 50 states, and I get 100 calls from each state, so.
Very little response in Texas.
Uh-huh.
So, but we do have a wonderful person, and she's working hard, and I wanted you to know that. And for people that can't call in because they don't have free long distance, how in the world do we listen on the Internet? I couldn't figure it out at all. Or tonight, not.
Well, I didn't even know that anyone paid for long distance anymore.
Yeah, some people have to pay, you know, either cell phone or long distance, but we did have a way to do it on the Internet, but there was no way tonight that I could see possible.
Well, what you could do is this. We use Skype all the time, and it's really convenient because you can put on a headset, a microphone on the headset. You don't have to hold the phone up. Well, Skype is free for talking to other people on Skype.
We did it on my computer. We're not going to be able to do it that way so I can tell people?
Well, if they have a phone, they just need a phone. I mean, most phones.
So we can't, will there be a replay on the website? Like?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, look, in the next 2 weeks, I'm not sure whether I mentioned this, in the next couple of weeks, I don't know if it's going to be 2 weeks, could be 1 week, it could be 3 weeks, but in the next few weeks, we will have streaming of this program directly on the website like we had before. So people don't have to get on the phone.
Well,
they could just go to the website and go to the chat room, and it'll be streaming right there. So
okay,
sometime in the next couple
the
of weeks, we'll work.
People to believe they can hook up tonight because I tried it and it just doesn't work.
No, you can't. I mentioned that until we get it, you have to call in until we set up the system.
Okay, is that the one we're going to have that's going to stream?
It's going to stream. Okay, and we're going to stream right from this program. We'll use this phone number.
People and it wouldn't work, and that chat box doesn't work. It goes to some weird website, so I figured maybe it's only by phone tonight.
No, the chat box is working. There are people on the chat. Gerard, is people in the chat right now?
How do you get in it? I typed a password, and it didn't let me in.
Yeah, there's people in the chat.
Well, tell her how to get into the chat.
There's 51 people in the chat right now.
How do you get in the
You've got to go on National Liberty Alliance, and you go on their Monday night call.
I'm there.
And then you scroll down.
Yeah.
And there's a black window, and it has like a pre-picked name. Now, you can click on that and use that, or you can put your own name, and it should take you. Now, there were some bandwidth problems, so people, I think people were having trouble.
I did a password, and it didn't let me in.
Well, just
so
try.
You don't need a
just
password.
Try click on a name. Don't even just take the password that's there and try it. It just won't have
soon,
your name.
Soon, when we're going to set up a system that when people come into the.
I have free long distance, but I just know a lot of people and seniors want to hear this in Texas that we're trying to get interested. And tonight it was a fiasco, but I'll tell them in a couple of weeks it's going to get straightened out. Listen to the rebroadcast. Will it be up tomorrow?
It'll be up tomorrow. It's below the you on the same page. Just go down and you'll start to see all the MP3s.
So I can guide them there. And you're doing a great job. You and Gerard are doing fantastic. And thank you for being on Drake. Are you going to be on Thursday night again?
If he wants me, I don't know that he's got anything set with me on that. But
you told him that if you did what you were going to do on Monday, that you were going to plan to be on Thursday.
Okay, I got to give him a call then. I got his phone number. I'll give him a call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take our next caller. And again, before we take our next caller, which is just a phone number, 130 number, or 304 number, I guess it is. But before we get started, we will have streaming in the next couple of weeks. So as soon as the program starts, it should start streaming. That's what we're going to set it up for, and we're going to be working with the chat room. We'll have to talk with the custodian of that chat room. Maybe we'll work out something with him. But we want to create something whereas, and we'll use that chat room until we do something more, but we want to create a chat room where people that come in that are signed into the site will have their name automatically. Screen name you had chosen. And for visitors, we'll set something up where they could sign in and they'll get an email just to confirm who they are. We may not have to do that because we're also trying to push the website so where we can see all the ID numbers, the what do they call those computer ID numbers?
The IP.
And so, but we'll do something where visitors will be able to participate too. They don't have to be just people who are registered, so anyone will be able to come in. So we'll see where that goes. All right, 304, you got the mic.
Hi, John. This is Jerry from West Virginia.
How you doing,
wow,
Jerry?
This is really big. You're taking the keys away from the jailers and setting all the slaves free.
Well, we're doing it. I can't do it by myself. It's we the people.
Right. This is it. This is the big show, isn't it? This is it.
This is it. This is the time to stand up. This is the line in the sand, and we're stepping over that line.
Yeah, we've all been, you know, snowballed long enough. Now it's time for the people to take care of each other, and that's what it's supposed to be about from all along. I heard you on Drake. You talked about Canada and Ireland and Great
Australia
Britain.
Australia and the UK.
And Australia being common wealth.
I've even gotten calls from other people. I got a call. I got to get back to someone from Canada who's already looking for how to sign up. So, and we haven't even set it up yet. So, you know, that's why. Let me just ask one more time. That's why we need everybody to throw in $5 a month.
Right.
You know, go out there and sign up on that $5 a month thing. If you could do more, that's appreciated. You know, there are people who are doing 10, 20, and 50. So. But whatever you can afford, everybody should be able to afford, or most people should be able to afford $5. And if everybody did $5, we'd have plenty of money to do all the things we need to do. We do have to add some additions to the site to take in these new countries, and we'd love to do it, and we'd like to do it right away. But it depends on money. We need funding. But go ahead.
This the most exciting. I mean, I don't get excited, but wow. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed. Okay, the question I'd like to ask. The 10 square mile there in the District of Columbia, what is this going to do to them?
Well, eventually they're going to feel pretty isolated, aren't they? No. Well, I'll tell you what it does to them. Here's the key thing. How do you take back your federal government? How do we take that back? Well, it's very simple. You take back your state. If the people take back their state, we all send congressmen and we all send two senators. And when we take control of them and say, don't you be taking any of that funny money, because when you come back into this state, that's a crime. So if you take funny money out there, you come here, we'll have the sheriff waiting for you. So that's control. You're going to have control over these people. Also, you know, they're going to have to start voting constitutional. Otherwise, you're going to remove them from office.
I also watched the video, John, of Mr. Smith? Is that his
Goes to Washington?
On the site there, him and his wife, he gives almost half hour.
Hagen.
Oh, Hagen. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that man. He's a smart man. Whoa.
Yeah, he's down there in Florida, and he's right. He's on our heels.
Oh, he's right on the money. We've been snowballed for so many different, you know, things going, but this seems to be real legit. I mean, I'm really excited.
We all are, because it's a people thing now.
Well, I appreciate all of you, and it's time to hook the old horse to the plow and get her done.
I agree. I like that one.
Thank you, John.
All right. Godspeed. All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's take our next caller, 281. Go right ahead. Area code 281-693. Yep,
that's
you. That's you.
Hi, John. This is Joanne, Texas State Coordinator.
How you doing?
Yeah,
how you
I just
doing?
Heard Kat call in. She's from Austin County. She's sweet. But I did want to let that man know that called in earlier. I think he's the one that said we don't have a Texas State Coordinator, or was it you?
Yeah, I thought that we didn't have one. I forgot we did.
Wow.
But, you know, bear in mind, we have 50 states, and
know,
we do have... We do
well,
have
bear in
at
mind,
least
I've got
10 states.
254 counties, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got a lot. Yeah, you need
so
more
what?
State coordinators. You need a whole bunch of state
well,
coordinators.
Well, I'm trying. But right now we have 42 counties that are active, and I'm getting more people to volunteer to help, even though they're not on the website as a state coordinator or anything like that. But I have a lot of really good people that are helping me. We're getting ready to start a massive marketing campaign throughout all of Texas, and then I'm starting to give presentations in different counties, you know, which involves a lot of traveling and things like that. But it's just something that I have to do because it's just Texas is just too big for one person to coordinate.
Oh, absolutely.
But I am getting a lot of assistance from a lot of people in Texas now. I joined in or became state coordinator on January 20th, so. You know, and we've
okay.
moved our numbers up from 74 to 99 today. So.
Yeah, and let me tell you, you know, not long before that, there wasn't many people in Texas at all. So
at
it's
all.
It's
yeah.
moved pretty quick. Once
yeah.
you break that 100 mark, next thing you know, it starts to grow pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, just in the last 3 days, we've gotten 6 people. So I think it's starting to move a lot faster.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just need to get people from outer reaches of Canada. They all seem to be in the same counties, you know what I'm saying? The
mm-hmm.
you know, like Dallas County or Harris County. We've got a lot of people in Harris County. We've got a lot of people in Dallas County and a lot of people in Tarrant County. So, you know, I just need to get more active in the marketing, which is what we're doing right now. I'm with the help of a member. He's helping me put out a massive marketing campaign. So hopefully you'll see us moving up and starting constituting our counties really quick.
There you go, moving on up. Yep.
Yep. I just wanted to tell that man to give me a call, and all he has to do is I'll give you my phone number on the line, Joanne. My number's 281-693-1784, and tell him to call me.
And he can also find it out there on the website.
Yeah,
just click on the state Texas, and yep,
right,
and
right.
you'll find her there.
Okay, anyway.
Appreciate it.
Out, John.
Thank
love
you.
The document.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Godspeed. Okay. Next caller. Let's see who that is. It's a 226 number. It's Global Alive Wireless Phone.
Hey. Okay. That would be me, I think.
That's you.
It just prompted me on the phone. Awesome. This is awesome. I get to speak to you. You just mentioned my friend not too long ago. I'm calling from down in Canada.
Okay.
I was actually just having dinner with the guy you were talking to yesterday. You just mentioned earlier, Mark.
Right. Someone had sent me an email, and I got to give
yeah,
him a call. We'll try to
yeah.
call him tomorrow. Yeah.
What he wanted to know, I'm asking the question because I'd like to know too. I'm also interested in being a part of this. So he was saying there was a technical issue. I noticed this too because I tried to register. That he was not able to register on behalf of like coming down from Canada, like on the website.
Right. Yeah, it's moving quicker than I can move. We're waiting for some funding. We've been waiting for a long time for funding. The only real funding we usually ever get anyway is from the people themselves when they finally step up. So if those $5 start to move in, more $5 or some 10s and 20s too, on a monthly basis, we can then turn and pay the our tech to set that up for us. You know, because
okay.
we pay for the service. But he gives us a good price, so we get it a very decent price. I'm very amazed at the price we paid for our website. And so, the thing is we have to set up a place on the site for the different countries. And we have 4 countries that want to come in. And so, maybe tomorrow or the next day, I'm going to get out there and start breaking up on how we're going to put this in and get that out to the tech and I'll push him for a price and see if we collect enough money in the next few days to be able to go forward and do this.
Okay, so then my next question is there anything of the folks down in Canada here that we can do to help? to help kind of expedite that process? Because I'm
send donations. That's the key thing. It really ends up, this part of it is all about money. You know, we have to pay someone. We did have someone that was going to assist us that had some technical abilities, and I forget who that was, to be honest. I think it was, that may have come through Roger down in Florida or somebody, where they said they had a technician that's one of us and would be willing to come in and do some work on our server with us, and we'll get some free stuff. And I don't know if they've got a background in what we're using Drupal. So if they got a background in Drupal and they come help us, we can get it for free maybe, you know?
Hey,
But we're looking, yeah.
Another important point. We're looking for anybody who has court reporter skills. We want a court reporter April 7th. So anybody who's in the area or can even travel a little bit.
Someone we know, was it maybe Catherine that brought this up to us?
Know. Somebody told us that they knew somebody that did it, and we're actually willing to hire somebody if we have to, and we will.
Not Catherine, Kathleen. Kathleen.
Right. So I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Maybe you guys can shake the bushes and the trees. And
yeah,
see
we need a stenographer.
From Canada down here? Or are you speaking?
No. This is someone in New York. We need a stenographer.
We need a stenographer. I had to say it when I was thinking of it because it'll get forgotten. So.
He's getting old.
Our big court
meet
on the 7th. So.
He's got that brain problem.
I just woke up and blurted it out. I'm sorry.
We missed you.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get this country thing settled in the next week, I hope. Again, it's all about money. We just got to get the money up to do it. And it's not going to cost a lot, I don't think. I got to talk with our technician and find out what the price is.
Well, you know what I can say? When Mark does give you a call after you've spoke to the technician, I don't know if it's a possibility for you to be able to quote him, because I'm sure there's enough people that we can find who would be more than willing. Like, we've got a pretty decent crowd down here
of folks
who are interested in this. So, you know, I'm sure that money wouldn't be too hard for us to pool.
Okay, and it's not going to be that terribly expensive either.
Yeah, so. You know what? You know, when everybody's pitching in, you know, for a good cause, we can make it happen. So
I
just
agree.
Quote Mark after you've talked to your tech, and I'm sure we can make it work.
Yeah, I'll try to get the tech in the morning so before I call him, and Mark, that is, and then I'll have an idea or a number. So if you want to, I got your number here. Do you want me to give you a call, or do you want to come in on this call?
Sure. That's cool.
Okay, so I'll just write your number down. Let me... It's a 266 number. 700, that's strange.
Yeah, it's a wind number. It's weird. There's some pretty odd phone numbers with wind. I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay, and what's your first name again?
Jonathan. Jonathan.
Okay. And you're in Canada?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we're this is great to go into other countries like this to see them doing the same thing we're doing. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So
just thank you so much, John, for all your help and everybody else who's helping. This is great stuff. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you working with us, so let's go do it.
Teamwork. All right. Thanks. I'll let you get to the next caller.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Okay. Right. And next caller coming in, Edward. We're going to try to push the calls along now. We only got a few more callers, but I do want to try to get everyone in. Edward, go right ahead.
Yeah, could you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
All right, good. Now, because I'm calling from the computer.
Yeah, you're a little low. If you can get a little closer to the mic.
Okay, I'll be right on top of it. I don't know if it's any better. I'm right on top of it.
That's okay. I'm raising my volume. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So you are able to, I know that other lady couldn't get through. I think she was from Texas. I know you had the one before the other one. But anyway, you are able to get through the computer. Obviously.
Great. What are you using, the Google, the free Google or something like that?
The one through the high definition and just through the free conference call website. And then using the flash It's called a flare.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the other thing is what's that, goodness, what's that phone you got, Gerard, that little stick you get $20 a year, 1995? What's that service? Magic Jack. People could probably get Magic Jack. Or, you know, you can get the Skype service, and the Skype service is like, if you don't get a phone number, you just want to be able to make calls. Goodness, I think it's like $30 a year or something. And then if you want a phone number, it's an additional $30, so it's $60. It's unlimited. You can call anywhere.
Excellent. So. Yeah. Well, I have a Magic Jack also.
All of a sudden, you came in nice and clear and loud, but keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, what I did, I went to the settings. There's actually a settings, and I put it up to maximum on the microphone.
Okay.
So, and that's right through that, your high-definition website. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Magic Jack, for some reason, wanted to charge a penny a minute or something, believe it or not, even though I can call anywhere. It's only related to conference numbers for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, at least that lady won't have to wait like 2 or 3 weeks until you're able to stream, like you said before.
Streaming
directly right now. And that is a great job where you got this thing going like this so quickly, and you had a full conference call tonight.
Yeah, we did have a lot of, we still do have a lot of people on, so
yeah,
we had a busy room tonight.
Exactly. Now let me ask you, they don't have the limitation like Blog Talk, right? Like it doesn't have to end exactly at 3 hours?
Right, it doesn't have to. I'll go a little overtime, but I don't want to spend too much because 3 hours is a long time and I got a lot to do tomorrow, so, but I'll go a little overtime.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's a good and bad. It's good that sometimes it's good to have some type of limit. And
right, I do wanna start at 9, and I do wanna end at midnight. And if I start a little late, I don't mind going a little longer. But I don't want to do much more than 3 hours. After a while, you just get tired, and I've had a long day to begin with. So
absolutely, I know it's tough on Monday night. Yeah, just one thing I just wanted to mention as far as getting as many people, I know you're using all kinds of resources, to try to get the people. And sure, I'd like to see, thousands of people in my state, jumping on. But, and I've, I've told people to go to the website. But, if we could just, it's great. I don't expect to have everything coming from you. I mean, we have other people on this call that could think of some things. What I'm thinking along the lines of showing people how it affects them in their everyday situation. You see, a lot of times when they hear about something like this, they don't think it directly affects them.
Right.
So just
right.
The one point. Now, you and me could talk forever on this subject, but I'll just stick to this one.
Right.
Point.
If they're into Agenda 21 problem, we can solve it. If they're talking about a gun problem, we can solve it. So whatever their problem that they're focusing in on, the grand jury can solve it.
Excellent. Yeah, so, like I said, just trying to get, the good people that you have on this call, throughout the country to think about even getting a list together of the kind of things, how this could affect you on a regular basis, in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I know you're bogged down, but at least the people, we have all these people that are so interested in getting this thing going, and this way, they could think of these, because, look, as well as I do, the people have very short attention spans.
Right.
And you have to get this in quick.
Well, that's why I tell people all the time, we got to get people involved every Monday night. If you're a state coordinator, you should be working on getting all the organizers, all the county organizers here. If you're a county organizer, you should be working on getting the rest of your county organizers in your county and the counties around you and the people you know and the people who aren't listed that you know and get them in here. Get them onto this call. This call, the purpose of the call is to get people excited. The purpose of this call is to educate people and keep you active. If people are coming every Monday and we're growing, you know, we start to get really excited and we start to see the progress and we start to get the work done. It's all about talking to people, and that's why I always try to make myself available on the phone, and everyone else should do the same thing. It's all about talking to people on the phone and in the conference calls, and if you're close by, even in person. But emails just don't cut it. We'll never save the nation and get people to do anything through emails. Emails is a good backup and a reminder system, but that's about it.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, John. And I'll try to get something started myself just to get the momentum, you know, on some of those everyday things, and then we could build from there.
Okay.
Thank you. This is, I tell you, I can't believe that I'm talking to you with just a computer. Every time I try to do that with other systems, it comes out all garbled. And if you're saying I'm sounding okay, then that's amazing.
Yeah, we get a little bit of a creak once in a while, but it's not bad.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, John.
Okay, Ed. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to Patricia from Connecticut. How you doing, Patricia? Go right ahead.
John, hi. It's Pat from Connecticut.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure I understand exactly what we need to do in Connecticut. We've constituted, and we're looking forward to filing in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to check with you, for example, what paperwork do we need? The paperwork that we already signed at the meeting, is that sufficient?
Right, that's the paperwork. I'll tell you what, why don't you set up a Connecticut meeting, give me a call, and let's get a conference going, and we'll get together one evening this week.
Okay.
We'll make sure everybody's on the same page. And if you want, call Rhode Island up. They're online tonight. Maybe they can come in and participate with us.
Okay, that would be great. Do you have a time when you want this conference call, what's convenient for you?
Well, I'd like to do maybe at about 7:30 if possible. This way, you know, I can take a break early in the evening then. You know, get off at 8:30 or something. But, yeah, I'm looking at this week. I'm looking to see what I got. Let's see. I got pretty much the evening up through Friday. I'll be gone Saturday. But any evening this week is good.
Okay.
Just get to me quick enough to confirm before something else eats it up. You know,
okay.
I think Drake, I forget what time Drake is. Drake is 8 p.m., I think. So he'd be a little later. But anyway, I think he's Thursdays. I may get on the Drake show this week. I'll give him a call.
Okay, I understand. I'll see how fast I can get everyone organized for a particular day.
Okay.
I'll confirm with you.
Right.
Okay, excellent.
All right, we'll talk to you then. Just give me a call tomorrow or whatever you can. Let me know.
Okay, as soon as I've got some, you know, confirmation about getting together. Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, Daryl. You got the mic. We only got two more callers after Daryl. That's good. And Daryl, go right ahead.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Yeah. On April 7th, are you going to have a stenographer there?
We're looking for a stenographer right now.
Okay. I was just wondering about that because I thought it'd definitely be important.
Absolutely. Now, we will get a stenographer one way or the other. Even if we have to pay for it, we'll have to go around and pickpocket people or something. We'll get some money.
It's a shame it's no longer my job. I used to do that years ago. I was much younger, and I don't even have the equipment now, but it came to mind earlier, and I just thought I'd bring it up.
Okay.
That's all I really had.
All right. Appreciate it, Daryl.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. It looks like Jersey is coming up. 201. Isn't that Jersey?
Yes, it's Jersey.
I was
going to
say
here.
It was
How you
Jason
doing, buddy?
Again. Good. How you doing?
My phone died, and just having challenges. Look, I want you to know, New Jersey got constituted on the 22nd. We are 21 strong. we're now on going to stage two, which will be
So you have all of the counties done.
All the counties done.
I will post Jersey as a state that has been constituted. And did you go out and flip all the switches in the counties?
No, I'm having a problem getting on there. And I
will do it tonight for you and get it done, but we will talk. You give me a call tomorrow, and we'll see if we can fix the problem. What kind of problem you having?
I get into edit. It doesn't allow me to get in there. I gave a letter out to the tech and never received anything.
Okay, when did you send out to the tech?
I had to look back in about this week. Maybe I didn't see it, but I didn't hear anything. But, you know, I'm not gonna point fingers at anyone. I'll look into it. I also want to bring everyone's attention. There are folks who are out there saying that they want to do. They are coordinators for the United States of America for NLA. And a guy called Bert called me, and I talked to him. And from Ohio, and Ohio doesn't even have one county or. Reinstated. So, as the saying goes, don't go to other ones' houses unless yours is in good standards. And so he said he had 30 spoke to 30 people. But again, I didn't get as soon as I didn't I saw him not being anything. But there was no leadership in Ohio, and they haven't done anything. It kind of made me. I think the worst of again the infiltrators. The mm-hmm. other thing that's happening, I know we want to get on target. We were working on something that get 15.
Before you go any further, let me make sure I understood you. Every county in New Jersey has been constituted.
And constituted. We did eight. We did eight on the 15th, and seven on the 22nd.
Okay. And I'm in there right now checking them all off. Go back right. to your conversation. What were you saying now?
And, no, this guy, Bert, just beware if we were working on something with me doing something for the national, but in the event that somebody else does step up, we need your recognition on a national radio show and also on the national website, giving those people the authority and recognition for the contribution to bring their helping around in the United States for the with reconstituting of the other states' counties. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. All right.
On another issue, I just want to say I'm the most dangerous man and sovereign in the world, not because I have weapons of mass destruction or viruses, biological computer. No, it's because I question the authority of the establishment, which I do not like, and I've done that all my life. To bring that a little full forward, I was at 595 Newark Avenue in Jersey City Municipal County Court. I was handing out literature for that we developed in New Jersey by for educating our other fellow Americans, and I was told I couldn't solicit this information. I turned around to the officer of the court and said, "Excuse me, sir, where is your authority by statute, code, or ordinance that tells you have the authority to tell me not to distribute this?" He couldn't answer my question. He just kept on saying, "You couldn't do this. I almost got arrested. I walked away, and then I saw the sergeant, the woman sergeant. I asked the same question about it. Where is your authority? Where is your ordinances, codes, and statutes that give you the authority to tell me what to do?" And her answer was, "Well, it's for the good order of the building. So you hand out a literature, somebody can go berserk." Okay. I call up the county lawyer. In his 25, 30 years as a county lawyer, he has never come up as a question. Ergo, so far, he hasn't been able to find that there is any ordinances, codes, or statutes preventing me from distributing literature inside a court building. The irony of this is that the First Amendment right has been violated for too long.
That's true. And besides that, even if they did find an ordinance, they couldn't hold it to you anyway, because that's not the law.
Right. It's not the law of the land. It's the statutes and codes.
Right.
But again, I'm finding out about this. Another little factor is that I'm doing research on oaths and bonds. The interesting thing is I'm trying to isolate this, but supposedly no judges in the state of New Jersey are required to have bonds. Ergo, anyone that doesn't have a bond can be easily leaned on for their violations of the oath to protect the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. And we know that our judges and the prosecutors and others in this state and the United States are all mafioso RICOs. So they are all be subjected to the not the wrath of the people, but the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have the same problem here in New York. None of the judges here have bonds either. None of them.
And if they are done by the controllers. But again, the interesting thing about New York State when
right.
I was
so
reading your literature.
Right, so they put it onto the people's back. They put it onto when the controller controls it. That means it's the taxpayer that's paying. If you go sue the tax, if you go sue the judge, and you go to lien a bond that doesn't exist, therefore you have to go to the comptroller, then you're paying your own bill. It's absurd.
Right.
But
that's
the fact of
that.
The matter is that the law, which we stated in the Coanto, the law requires that if they don't have a bond, that they have to be able to give it. They got to give an account of their assets, and that's their bond. They're holding their own insurance.
Right. And
so, just real quick, you did the last constituting of a county on the 22nd?
22nd was the date we had.
Okay.
It was the southern part of New Jersey.
All right, so I just did it now. If you go to Jersey now, you'll find all of the Jersey has been constituted, 21 of 21. And I put you on the far right side of the thing, right under Rhode Island. We got New York, Florida, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Jersey, all five states, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, five states have been constituted.
That is fabulous.
So that's good. We've got five states, and we're rolling.
And we're looking at, as soon as we get our monies together, we're looking at like a 30-day processing of all the counties, because it takes that much time to send up the papers and so on and so forth. Again, when you break on April the 7th, which is 1 month before my birthday, 61, we will definitely be going forth. And the bottom line here is that, again, as you say, there's no excuse to get yourself ahead. And the old saying, and one of the networkers said, if you can't get, the only thing you need to do is get out of your own way and you'll be able to go forward.
There you go. Okay.
And I know other people have something to say, but again, John, thank you so much for your leadership.
Right. Yeah, we got two more people, so we do want to move on, but go ahead.
All right, thank you. God bless, and thank you, John.
All right, Godspeed to you too,
you
Jason.
Too.
Good talking to you. Okay, a wireless caller coming up, and it is a 516 number, 516.
Hi,
it's down in New York City, 516.
Yeah. Okay, so I was there with Jason in the court. We were there to support one of my one of the members of my we're in landlord-tenant court. And don't worry, because I was there and I brought a friend with me. His relatives own a he's got two relatives who are attorneys in town. So if Jason got arrested, I had the bail money, and we had two attorneys backing us up. So don't worry.
Hey, have
Jason.
You spoke to Joe and Paula lately? I understand they got some problems. I don't know if you've been able to help them.
Yes,
you know, if they give me a call, I'll help them with some paperwork. They got to make some moves.
They're good. And I wanted to ask two quick things because we're coming towards the end of the night. On April 7th, I know you want bodies in the courtroom, but for the people who can't make it, and that we were successful in Joe and Paula's case when they were fighting criminal charges, we had for the people who couldn't physically be there for, you know, disability reasons, whatever, we had people call the court. We had people write letters and fax them into the court. We had people email the court. And some people put their names on the writings and the phone calls and the messages. We even had some people who were afraid of retaliation at that point go to public phones and call from a public phone and say, just because we're not there doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of people.
Okay, well, there you go. People can be calling around the nation then, and
okay.
We'll get the phone number up there, and we'll try to get the email and the faxes, and you can fax and say, hey, I'm watching, or whatever it is you want to say. You know,
yeah.
This is the people's business, and we are here, and we are many, and we want this job done.
Exactly. And when you flood the court with phone calls, emails, and faxes in the days leading up to April 7th, if you're afraid of retaliation, you go to a public phone and you say, I'm afraid of retaliation, but I'm still calling, I'm still out here. So what are they going to do, trace you to a public phone? If you're not afraid of retaliation like me, you know, I'll show up, I'll send emails, I'll send faxes. So that will get you more backup, okay?
Great, great.
Very, very effective.
Good idea.
Okay, good. I'm done.
Have you had the chance to read the Kiwanto yet? Were you on all night?
I'm on the Upper East Side in Manhattan, so I've been coming on and off the phone because I'm typically multitasking. I got to get papers in the court too, but I can tell you, Jason worked up a marketing piece that's pretty good. It's a flyer. He needs to tweak it a little, but it's excellent. He's been working really hard. The marketing piece is great. I was out in Newark, New Jersey with him. And he's making a lot of good leads, and believe me, he'll have plenty to do in
great.
New Jersey.
Great.
Don't worry
great.
About it. Okay.
All right.
I wanted to say this as a parting there, just very quickly in 60 seconds before you go. Do you make a difference in people's lives? Hell yes, because you made phone calls to a Dr. Lucy. Well, Dr. Lucy sits on the faculty of my medical school. He knows I got backup. So now he's got, I talked to him today. I didn't think he was going to take my call, but he did. Now he's got to face a choice. He either does the right thing and gives all medical school students their civil rights, the right to a fair hearing before they're expelled or suspended from school, or because he's demonstrated bad moral character to go along with the crime and corruption, he can have his license to practice medicine revoked. So you're pushing the medical profession in New York to do the right thing by thousands of students. So you are making a difference in the lives of thousands of medical school students. And we're holding Dr. Lucy's feet to the fire.
There you go. Okay.
So there you go.
All right. Thanks, Lydia. Let me take
Thank
my last
you.
Caller. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, last caller coming in. Ronald, you got the Micaruno.
Okay. Basically, I'm looking at your site, and you just said I thought that you had added the last state that had constituted that the caller came in.
That's right. If you refresh the page, you'll see it, and you'll see the constituted numbers jumped up now, too.
Okay, I went out and came back in a couple of times because I can't see where the refresh is, and I just wanted to say that I wasn't seeing it. I figured, all right, you know what you're doing. It'll be on there, and tomorrow it'll be there for sure. I think this is.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, it's there right now. I'm looking at it right now. I just refreshed the page, and it says that we got 265 constituted grand juries out of 3,142, and it says very clearly underneath that the fully constituted states are New York, Florida, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Jersey. And
okay,
we will have New Hampshire up there probably next week. And, goodness, I think Arizona, was it Arizona, is it?
Arizona,
I think, is going to be popping real soon. And, goodness, we got a lot of states ready to go. So they're coming
awesome.
Along. Maryland, I believe, is another one that's coming in. Maryland and Delaware we're pushing on. So
this is great. I'm in Southern California. We had 3 constituted. We're up to 11. Things seem to be on the low, but that's okay. It'll pick up.
Yep, it'll go. You're getting the numbers out there now. The numbers are building up.
Yes, that's awesome. This is so awesome. And the Drake show that you're doing, I think, is really, really outstanding. That really helps. I talked to people about this. I just came across a fellow today who wasn't aware of it. It helped me when I was shopping. And it's just really exciting. I hope that the excitement, well, it is. This is just the most exciting.
It's electrifying thing. Here in New York. It's electrifying in New York. And I hope it's electrifying across the nation.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm electrified. And just the more that happens, just like you say, this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get our republic back. I really believe it now.
Absolutely. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Well, God bless you. Keep the good work going, and you sure are a busy man. And we need to become busy in these states, so I'll let you go.
All right. Thank you very much. Godspeed. And Godspeed to everyone else. God bless everyone. I'm thankful that everybody came this evening, and we had a good show. A lot of people showed up, that is. And let's make it better next week. Let's keep bringing more and more people. Make the phone calls to the other organizers, the state coordinators. Make sure people are coming to this meeting. Let's get energized, and let's get going. All right. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. We'll bring the new news. Any new things happening between now and then, we'll be sending out emails. And again, you know, anybody who can throw a few bucks in to help get the money necessary to get the site set up to receive other countries, it'll be appreciated. And anybody who can make it out to New York, again, especially New York people, send me an email and standingup@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's standingup@nationallibertyalliance.org. And just tell me that you're heading out, how many people are heading out with you, and if you're looking to eat lunch with us, and we'll try to find a big enough place to accommodate us. Okay. Godspeed, everyone. Thanks for coming. Good night.
Your conference recording has stopped.